Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
You already had me on.
I was starting to, but you were beating on the microphone in there.
Well, I had to beat something. It's been several hours since that. Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the 17th July edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harris. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest-running co-executive producer, and I need much bleach for my ears.
Me or the musical?
No, after hearing you talk about...
Beating it?
Yeah.
It's just beating it in front of you.
I didn't need to hear that.
Okay, well, I'll give you a couple of websites you should not go on then.
And I'm Wes Laverne, the one that's not feeling very well tonight, but making it through.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Oh, just one of my little episodes tonight. Starts off with headache, half food. Later, a couple hours later, leave part of myself on the side of the road.
Oh, okay.
In front of his competitor's business.
Yeah.
Someone's trying to suck up that bonus.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I'll have to let the GM know about that one on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And my chest is hurting a little bit right
now.
Yeah,
you might get a better bonus next month.
Better than what I had this month.
Though I did find
a way to get some money, though. So I'll be doing better.
Don't tell me what it is. Don't want to know.
It's a legal way.
Oh. Strange. I didn't see their ads on the other side of Craigslist. Oh.
It was legal. All of it was legal. I actually borrowed money from myself.
Okay.
Long story on that.
Yeah.
Great. Sure. He screwed himself then.
Yeah, great.
So
how was everyone's week? Okay.
It was been a slow week.
Yep.
Out there, we've been busy at my work, at least in the front of, and this week it's just been getting a little slower, and then a bunch of crazy stuff, and then it's slow. It's like,
yeah, it's been really slow in the car business because normally I'll do a bunch of different vehicle mm-hmm. lookups and stuff like that. I think this week I did three.
Ooh.
Yeah. My phone. I think it rang a total of five times.
The whole week?
The whole week.
Hell, what do you do when...
Luckily for me, I have other projects that I do besides my normal job.
It's a good thing.
So I worked on those and was able to pass the time away. That and my coworker had to go have a little minor surgery done yesterday, so he was out all day yesterday.
Well, if he wouldn't have shanked him, he wouldn't have been...
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, I was getting confused with the MBB letters.
No. Yeah.
Oh, oops.
By the way, might as well just...
What is with all the MBB letters?
We got four of them today, so we want to say hi to Daryl, Jose, and Deep Cover. And then we got one for Gigi here from Jonathan.
Okay, so well, Gigi will be here either later this evening or next week. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And we're never sure either.
I know.
Yeah. And Deep Cover in his letter, I did catch... as I was trying to read through these with my small headache that I had left, said that he finally listened to a full show last week.
Oh.
So.
That puts him one up on most of us here that are at the station right now.
Yeah.
And we want to thank Deep Cover and Daryl for sending some pictures of themselves. We'll make sure to get those back to you guys.
Yes. Thank you, Daryl.
And let's see. Both of them did send some writings of their own.
Oh, good.
So.
Okay,
we'll talk more about that later.
We'll be doing that after the GCAM segment.
So.
Okay. Gosh. And we don't have an after hours quickie this evening, do we?
Well,
does that mean I get to go have a quickie? Oh.
No, not that kind of quickie.
It's those other ones and.
What?
Are they still around?
Who?
The other court.
ICOH?
Yeah. I see no H here.
Technically, yeah. Yeah.
I haven't even seen any stories come across there.
No, I know. I know.
Do they even exist anymore?
If you're out there.
Yes. The last time I talked to the president, the board president, they were still around.
Maybe we'll see him on Wednesday at Louis.
Sean Carter is the new empress. After the former empress stepped down, and
I'm supposed to use Sean's feminine name for that.
Oh, Chanel Cartier.
Yeah,
and the emperor is Jeff Wallace. But
we love putting him on the spotlight.
I know. What we really
revenge. This was revenge for those years you gave me the rhesus stuff. I said, well, what does rhesus stand for?
Just wanted to send out a big congratulations. This is coming from Cubby Christopher Prado, and it certainly relays all our feelings here. Just wanted to send out a big congratulations to Chris F. on winning Boy of Montrose 2010. May it be a wonderful year of fundraising for you. So, congratulations, Chris F. Okay.
Strange using the Alcoholics Anonymous code there when you're doing a bar run.
Yeah, I know. Especially since, you know, he's obviously out. Yeah. He's running for
a
title. Yeah. I went to the, Judy and I went to the, the dinner last Tuesday for, the community center. Yeah, that's it. And ran into Keith, who's a biggie in Team Houston.
Mm, yes.
And you know what Team Houston is?
That's the Gay Games group.
That's the Gay Games group, right. And he had a little flyer. But what I found interesting was the back of the flyer. Oh, my God.
What, was there a naked picture on there?
No. What it is different sports groups and either their Yahoo group or a way to contact them. And I mean, when it comes to sports in this city, we've got queer group for badminton, hoops, billiards, in fact, three different billiard groups, Houston Invitational website, Cheer Houston, different spokes, Rainbow Wranglers, Southern Country, Montrose Darts, Houston.
Now, a couple of those are dance groups, but in the gay games there are dance competitions
yes.
as part of that.
Houston Hurricane, women's flag football, Out Scrambling Golf Association, Women's Hockey League, TGRA, Houston Roller Derby, Outskate, Houston Heat Rugby Football Club. Well, we know that they're seasonal. We tried that. A Houston Athletic Rugby Club. That's for women.
Should be another rugby club.
Front Runners Houston, Lone Star Front Runners, Out on the Bay, Sailors and Boating Enthusiasts. Wow. Montrose Soccer Club, Hasbeyans, Women 40 Plus, Non-League Recreational Softball. Montrose Softball League, Houston. Gatorol, that's formed in mid-March, you know, over 50 swimmers. Okay, Houston Tennis Club, Lone Star Volleyball Association, and the New Wrestling and Amateur Bodybuilding Physique Club. Wow. I mean,
yeah, that's a lot.
It's amazing.
I've seen a couple things there with the gay game stuff of. You know, they have a variety.
Yeah. So they have a lot of people involved in it, too.
Yeah, they have a variety of sports and competitions that they host in those, in the actual gay games. And there's a little bit of talk about the one coming up, I guess it's next year.
Germany, isn't it?
Well, this year's is Germany.
Okay.
I think next year is Cleveland.
Isn't it every 2 years?
Wherever the next one is.
Yeah.
In Cleveland. Of they've like doubled the number of sports they want to try and put on.
Wow. So if you're into sports, there is a group here for you. I'm telling you. So contact Team Houston. They recruit.
I do know they have a Yahoo group. You can
Gay Games Team Houston at yahoo.com. Or go to gaygamesteamhouston.org. Gaygamesteamhouston.org.
See something on that. Wow. Let me see something on that, Jimmy.
Yeah. And I think that's all I'm going to do for tonight. Wes.
All right. Well, it looks like the Houston GLBT Community Center's got quite a few activities going on here.
Oh, they sure do.
Let's see here. Let's start off with Sunday.
Sunday.
July 18th, they're having the Sweet Savage Chocolate. Oh, quiet. Forgot to put that on vibrate.
Ooh.
Their Sweet Savage Chocolate Party Fundraiser on July 18th.
That's like today.
Yeah, exactly. The center is one of the beneficiaries for Sweet Savage Chocolate, the annual birthday party thrown by Deborah
Bell.
Deborah
Moncrief Bell.
Yeah. The community activist and Montrose Gym editor from 4 to 7 p.m. at Michael's Outpost over at 1419 Richmond.
You know, there are two other organizations that are receiving money from that fundraiser. Guess what they are?
How about I make it the rest of this announcement? Maybe it'll say.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, there's more. Deborah encourages guests to bring chocolate and share a donation for one or all of the three beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
Beneficiary one, the center.
Mm-hmm.
Then, oh my God, no wonder he was so up in arms about this one. The Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History.
I was up in arms about both.
And KPFT.
Ta-da!
So, going out there, check that out.
Yeah.
Guys, 4 to 7 p.m. I'll probably be passed out to the world or something.
That's at Michael's Outpost, around the 1400 block.
1419 Richmond.
Yeah.
And then, also, today... Oh, wait. All right, wait a minute. How's that? They're pulling this off twice over there, it looks like. Never mind.
I beg your pardon.
Today, Sunday.
Sunday.
You didn't accuse him of pulling something off? You know, I started the show by pulling something off.
I know.
I'll go back to sleep.
July 18th. Team Houston, the GLBT sports group that meets at the center, will hold its send-off for local athletes participating in Gay Games 8 over in Cologne.
Mm-hmm.
The event is from 4 to 7 p.m., so you got a choice of venues to go to here tonight. Over at In-N-Out, which is at 1537 North Shepherd.
Yeah.
So we got a split venue tonight. Local athletes will be traveling to Germany to compete in swimming, track and field, tennis, ice hockey, billiards. This isn't a little bit warm for ice hockey. Roller racing and other sports. So good luck out there, guys.
Yeah.
And then let's see here.
Ice hockey. They didn't even have a group listed for.
Yes, they do.
Did they?
The women's hockey team is.
Oh, ice hockey.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, I was that was one thing I was wondering about. Are we talking about pads or skirts?
I beg your pardon.
Ice hockey or field hockey?
Oh. Okay.
But actually, the men's field hockey team, they usually they wear skirts as well.
Mm.
Tradition.
Really?
But not like a Scotsman. This is a regular skirt. It's a regular skirt.
Oh my. Let me move on before Jimmy melts on us over there.
I'm getting the vapors.
The Houston GLBT Community Center is a partner in the 2010 Texas Transgender Non-Discrimination Summit. That's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
Which is taking place July 20th and 21st on the Rice University campus. The second annual summit is a strategy-sharing event established to help students, faculty, and staff at Texas colleges and universities get transgendered rights included in institution policies. Registration and attendance is free. To register or request more information, you can email txtgsummit@gmail.com. That's TX, as in Texas, TG for transgendered, summit@gmail.com.
Hmm.
Let's see here. A couple other things that are happening this week. On the 19th, you have the Center Coming Out group meeting at 7 p.m. Also, the Unhinged production meets at the Center at 7 p.m. also on the 19th. Let's see. We mentioned the transgender group. The Centered Seniors and Friends Potluck convenes at Bethel Church UCC. That's at 1107 Shepherd at 6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, there's the transgender thing again. And then on Thursday, July 21st, the Center HIV Support Group meets at the center at 6 p.m. So.
Oh.
Quite a bit going on this week.
Yeah.
Let's see. Softball fundraisers over at Tony's Corner Pockets.
Oh, yes.
We got a couple dates here. First one is Sunday.
Sunday.
July 18th. Oh, we got that a busy
would be today.
We got a busy day today.
Yeah.
From 6 to 9 p.m.
Oh, goodness.
They're going to have a mud dive for a brand new bicycle,
ooh,
a cakewalk, drink specials, and spiked lemonade.
Mm.
And then on Saturday, July 31st.
Yeah.
From 9 p.m. to midnight, they're going to have a mega 50-50 raffle drawing,
mm-hmm,
drink specials, jello shots and syringes, raffles with exciting prizes, and spiked lemonade. So mark your calendars.
They do go for that spiked lemonade, yeah, don't they?
And for those that don't know where Tony's Corner Pocket's at, that's at 817 West Dallas. Let's see here. Hatch is hosting their film festival this summer.
Mm-hmm.
It's their first summer film festival, actually. Youth Services Specialist Deb Murphy says two films will be shown every Tuesday afternoon in Room 101 at the GLBT Cultural Center, which is at 401 Bernard. They've already started that.
Yes.
It's running all the way through August 24th.
They've got some real classics.
Yep. This week is going to be Children's Hour and The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Now, that's really two strange ones to put together, because the Children's Hour, wow, is an old movie, and it's very, very depressing.
Yeah, and Priscilla is like highbrow.
And it's just way out there.
But it's one of my favorite movies. So, and then
and it's got great music.
Yeah. And on July 27th, they're doing Philadelphia and then Desert Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first show will begin at noon with a short introduction and a follow-up by Murphy, who is the former director of the Houston Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. So, it's a great way for Hatch youth to learn about gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender history while exposing them to the GLBT culture.
Yeah.
So, and they're bringing in Spry to kind of help give a little bit into that, too.
Yeah.
Stage Door, Inc., Center for the Performing Arts and Education, is performing Disney's Alice in Wonderland Jr.
Oh.
Show dates are July 22nd, 23rd, and 24th from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m.
No, no, it's 1 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Oh, 1 p.m. and 7? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dario forgot to put an ampersand.
Yeah, he put a dash in there instead of an ampersand. So
that would be a long play.
Yeah. Tonight. We need to have a word with Dario on that.
Yeah.
Ticket prices are $10 for adults, $5 for students, ages 18 and under. For more information and tickets, you can call 832-582-7606. Stage Door, Inc. is a 501c3 nonprofit organization located in the Pasadena Town Square Mall in good old Pasadena, Texas.
You can check them on the web at stagedoorinc.com. Also, one of the little teasers I'm giving about that. Remember, it's a mainly children's cast doing this. And because of it being that traditional stage door twist, it's the drag queen of hearts.
Ah. So. Yeah, that'll be fun.
All right. The Masquerade Theater, let's see, Philip Duggins is their founding artistic director, is staging Houston's Finest, and they're doing Rent from July 22nd to August 1st.
Wow.
For more information, go to Masquerade Theater. That's the highfalutin way of spelling it, what the R-E.
They all are.
.com. Or you can go to Hobby Center, thehobbycenter.org.
And those performances are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday performances are at 8 p.m., and the Sunday performances are at 2 p.m.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
Right, and those will be at Zilka Hall at the Hobby Center.
Yeah.
Which you're familiar with.
I am. Why?
You were just there. Like 2 hours ago.
Yeah, well, I was there for...
We need to give him his medicine.
I've been there for a lot of things.
I know, but you were just there today.
Oh, okay. Yes.
All right. And let's see, a few things for Reese's for the remaining of the month. On July 23rd at 8 p.m. over at Tony's Corner Pocket, we have Go Go for Gaga, hosted by Isabella Mink Rose. Then on Sunday, July 25th at 7 p.m. over at the BRB is the Good Old Southern Gospel meets the Church of the Neon Cactus.
Oh, that's scary.
That's a mouthful.
It is.
Hosted by Kimberly Ann O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder it was scary.
He seems to have a problem with the big mouthfuls of stuff today.
I know.
Yeah.
Then on July 30th at 11:30 p.m. over at Chances is the King of King contest preliminaries, hosted by Chris Falk. And
that would be Drag King.
Yeah. Didn't you mention something about the Fire and Ice?
Yeah, it's been canceled.
No.
It's been postponed.
Okay. So,
the Fire and Ice Ball 2010 Lifestyles of the Not So Rich and Famous was postponed until we can find a new date. Part of the roof at their venue must be repaired, and they decided it's best not to push a timeline. Although you would think a hole in the roof there in a barn-type setting would be perfect for something called Lifestyles of the Not So Rich and
Famous.
It's better than a hole in the bottom.
I think a...
Too many holes in the bottom.
Oh.
He usually prefers a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Glory, glory.
Hallelujah. At any rate, your turn, Chris.
Is it Mint?
What?
We don't have anything for Mint and Julep, which is going on today, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Yes, it is. We don't...
I didn't print it off tonight because I thought you already had it.
Oh. No, Mint Julep is going on
today.
That's
what you get for thinking.
Today. And that would probably be at the Burb, wouldn't it?
Yes.
BRB, 2400 Brazos.
Let's see. Some more stuff from Reese's on Saturday, July 24th. Over at EJ's, they'll be doing the Royal Road Trip.
Oh, wait a minute. No. That's going on next week. Because Alex is supposed to be here tonight. He's running for Mr. Yeah.
Sometime coming up there, Mint Julep.
Mr. and Ms.
We'll try to
Mint
figure it
Julep.
Out. We'll figure out what the hell we're doing. But the Royal Road Trip will be on Saturday, July 24th, over DJ's from 8 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
For one day, the Seven Courts of Texas and the Court of Oklahoma will be doing a monarch exchange. Falcon goes to Corpus, Sherry goes to Dallas, and we'll be getting Emperor Jeff Jeremy Germany from Dallas, and Empress Bree Williams of Corpus Christi will be coming here for that event. All are welcome to attend and show them Houston hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Theater New West and the Holocaust Museum Houston are presenting the Laramie Project. Performances are going on through July 24th over at the Holocaust Museum Houston. Performances, let's see, what's the ones that are left? It's the 22nd and the 24th. Only have two days
it.
Left. The 22nd, the performance is at 7:30. The 24th will be at 8 p.m. That's a Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm.
For more information, check out theaternewwest.com. Remember, it's R-E.
Right.
Don't forget, the casino bus trip for Eresus is coming up fast. They're extending the $30 ticket price throughout this weekend. So contact them quickly. You can go through Eresus to order that. Eresiss at yahoo.com or rcwood3hou@yahoo.
What was that last one again?
rcwood3hou@yahoo.com.
Okay.
The Gay and Lesbian Switchboard Houston is currently accepting applications for the next training session that will be coming up here at the end of July. Because the training encompasses three consecutive weekends, they only hold the trainings on a quarterly basis. Training will be done on the last Saturday in July and the first two Saturdays in August, as well as the second Sunday in August. Volunteers must go through the entire training, as we strongly recommend that be done in person. However, they can accommodate by video. Trainings held on the 14th and 15th of August are mandatory, as they include crisis intervention and role-playing. Being a switchboard volunteer is a challenging and rewarding experience. They refer to GLBT organizations and GLBT-friendly businesses, coming out issues, suicide prevention, sexual assault, domestic partner abuse and violence, hate crimes, HIV counseling and case management, chemical dependency treatment, and general therapy referrals. For more information, you can go to montrosecounselingcenter.org, and you should be able to pick up the information there, or just stop by over at the Montrose Counseling Center, which is the home to the switchboard, at 401 Bernard, second floor. I already did that one.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something of historic note in our community. Celebrating the 25th anniversary of Robert Kahn and Lloyd Powell. Two shows on one night.
Wow.
On Saturday, August 14th. The theme is Live, Love, Never Look Back. The first show will be at Tony's Corner Pocket at 8 p.m., and that'll be hosted by Miss Regina Dane.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move over to the Ripcord at 11.
Woo.
For an event hosted by Don Duke Cook.
Mm.
All proceeds will be benefiting Omega House, and they will be...
Excuse me. Sorry about that.
They'll be taking cash, check, and credit card.
Well, that is a bit much, yes.
Leftovers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Duke is, isn't he the...
Former now? I think he's a Wuzzy.
Oh. I thought he was Mr. Houston Leather.
Yeah, isn't his reign over?
Oh, no. I don't think so.
I don't know.
No. That was, No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he was just...
I don't know. I know it's somewhere close to the Misfits Ball, because he was called the new one at the last Misfits Ball.
Oh.
That I went to. So I don't know. Maybe his reign's over. Maybe it's not over. Maybe I'm cutting him short. I don't know. He's the guy who wears the yellow jock strap.
Oh.
Oh, wait a minute. The Ripcord, there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
But were they originally yellow to begin with?
No.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
You'll have to go down there and smell it for yourself.
I'll be back in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Investigating or just... final item here, Kindred Spirit Celebration 30th Anniversary.
Oh, yes.
We'll be on August 28th from 7:30 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
This will be over at 1435 Beale Street, the SPJST Lodge.
Whatever that is.
Select tables are available and limited. Go to kindredspiritshouston.org for more information. They're ready to celebrate the night. Come together with your old friends and make new ones. Dance, all, and raffled items and more. Your little logo's missing. Didn't print on yours. You can also get tickets over at Acadian Bakers at 604 West Alabama, Houston Buyers Club at 3224 Yoakum, and The Shop over at Westheimer and Commonwealth. What were you doing 30 years ago?
What? The SPJST Lodge.
What?
It's not the SPJST Lodge unless they moved it.
That's what this email says. SPJST Lodge.
Where?
Right here.
Where is it located?
1435
Beale Street.
Beale, B-E-A-L-L.
Yep, it's not SPJST.
Okay,
I'm
son.
Away now. It's the S-O-J something.
Okay, so Shaver's a typo.
I don't know.
Son back, if you're listening, send us a correction.
Okay.
Yeah, this is from Soul Laura.
Yeah, Soul Laura. She's fantastic at putting out the word for the sisters.
Yeah, she's public relations. Vice President of Public Relations for Sisters, Vice President of Kindred Spirits Foundation.
Yeah, she's really good. Okay, now I want to mention that I got a new CD from the Kinsey Six.
Oh, really now?
Yes, it's called
Really
Each Hit and I. And
it's called what again?
Each Hit and I.
That's not what you said.
Once you said it the second time, I realized what caught it the first time.
Yes, well, along those same lines, there's a song that we certainly can't play. In fact, there are seven of them that we can't play. Unfortunately.
Not without my finger getting broken.
There's more than that. Anyway, Each Hit and I. Okay? See this?
Oh, come on. Let's see the CD.
No.
Uh-oh.
Keep it up and we'll put the CD in. We'll just spin the wheel and make a deal.
Oh, yeah, right. There's a...
Pick a number, any number.
There's a song that I want to play later because every once in a while they put out a serious song. And as a matter of fact, they've got two of them on the CD. Well, there are 20 cuts. Two of them are interludes.
Cut or uncut?
Seven of the songs are uncut.
I said they were cut. And two of them are interludes. So there's 18 songs, and two of them are serious. One deals with crystal meth use, and the other deals with transgenders. And I want to play the transgender song later on in the show.
So basically the Kinsey Six is starting to go all flirtations on us, huh?
Sort of like that. You know, there's still a lot of fun stuff on this CD. Oh, gosh, yes.
And for those of you who listen to the show enough and you know about the flirtations.
Yes, they are America's favorite dragapella beauty shop quartet. That's what they build themselves as. Yes.
They've been here to Houston several times. They put on a couple of performances for Hatch.
And the first time I saw them was at Zilka Hall.
Imagine that.
Fascinating.
Yes. I thought that's called completing the circle.
Usually that happens at summer camp.
Oh, boy.
Oh, let that circle be unbroken.
Yes. Anyway.
Actually, I do have that song. We could play Circle Be Unbroken.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Olivia Newton-John sings it.
Oh, God.
In one of her greatest performers, as she's playing a lesbian folk singer. And, oh, my God, there's 3D glasses in here.
Yes, because there are things written on the cover that...
Can only be read with them?
Yeah. For good reason.
No, they're not really 3D glasses. They're just
the red film.
Yeah, so that you can read the
green, hidden messages,
the green writing. Yes. So why don't we go to some music and check out what's? Oh, those are lovely.
Oh, my chest.
Yes.
Oh. Anyway, how about a piece of music?
How about a piece of music?
All right.
Of God's grace, I caught a glimpse of myself departing, and the sight is now burned in my mind. From the front, I may not be Adonis, but I'm blessed with a fabul behind. Under all this elastic, my ass looks fantastic. Why hadn't I noticed before? Well, my belly's already, my butt is born ready. Although modesty mandates soft core, at the gym one can make so much progress, and it's hard to assess day to day. And the truth is, like potters or sculptors, it all depends on the grade of the clay. To carry the metaphor further, I've got Play-Doh for arms and for gut, but I sit on the highest grade of marble, and what's more, it appears it's recut. I focus my flexes on quads and on pecs, with little attention to glutes. Who knew my midsection was home to perfection? I'm blessed with a couple of beauts. Under all this acrylic, my ass is idyllic. Why hadn't I noticed before? If I just read their faces, those envious traces, and my tush follows me out the door. So now, when someone says, "Wow, what an ass," I humbly say, thank you.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless aching need. I say love, it is a flower, and you its only seed. Takes a chance. It's the metaphors we're making that pain the audience. It's a song for karaoke. desecrate. Still let's sing it, okie dokie. But first, let's modulate. When the lyrics are too schmaltzy, and the notes are held too long, and you wonder if this ditty is a dirge and not a song,
just remember it's by Midler, and you're not fit to lick her toes. And like Bert, this song's a classic, and that's why we sing the
Piggy, I call you slave. Don't call me tomorrow if you can't take today. Don't call me buddy. Don't call me your friend. Don't call
call me your brother. You won't see me again. Call me Trey. Call me Trey. Call me. Call me Trey. Call me Trey. Rough trade.
Oh, yeah. Oh, give it to me.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Well, I'm feeling better than I was earlier.
Well, I'm so glad. You know, that green tinge around the edges is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is this? Oh, you've got this parade of men coming in and kissing you on the forehead. Is there something I should know? Are they taking your temperature, or do they love you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's not how he likes getting his temperature taken.
Yeah, well,
that too.
We are in the studio, and I am so grateful that they're just kissing your forehead. So John's here with me tonight, as usual.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Of course, he doesn't have his ears on, so he can't hear me.
Nope. He doesn't like to listen to us. What can I say?
I see how it is now.
Hi again.
Hello again.
Okay. My sidekick here. Or are you my sidekick? I don't know. We're kicks. We're whatever. We're going to have some kicks. I don't know. So, anyway, we have an interesting show, interesting hour for you tonight. I can't hear. Oh, they're whispering now. No more kisses on the foreheads. Now we're going to whisper.
No.
Hi. Anyway, we have guests who aren't here. We have phantom guests. So John and I are just going to talk about a myriad of things tonight. And I know we just have a few minutes before we have to go to the top of the hour, so to speak. Can you cover anything in 8 seconds or less? No. We got about five minutes. So what have you got to talk about tonight, John?
There is a Transgender Non-Discrimination Summit, the second annual.
How exciting.
Very exciting.
Yes.
It looks like it's for Texas colleges and universities wishing to gain transgender rights in institutional policies.
I think that's very, I mean, it's,
I don't,
what, too long
insights in into transgender rights and institutional policies?
Well, there really are very few transgender rights. There are none in institutions and policies and stuff written for corporations and stuff, where they're just kind of out there floundering like so many gays were years ago and still are to some degree in some corporations. But they have absolutely no rights. And our government doesn't help that any because they encourage them not to have rights so the corporations can get away with it. So this is a really good summit.
Mm-hmm. So I guess to take a step in the right direction, they're having a summit at Rice University. On July 20th through the 21st, that's what, Tuesday and Wednesday of this week?
Something like that, yeah.
Over at Rice University in the Kyle Moore Room, Fondren Library. To register, go to TXTGS.
It's Texas Transgender. TXTG.
TXTGSummit@gmail.com.
Okay.
And it's sponsored by a whole bunch of people. It's sponsored by Hollyfield. I don't know who they are.
Hollyfield Foundation, yeah. Jay Hollyfield was a benefactor here in the community a very long time ago. He is deceased, so there's now a foundation that gives money to the community at times.
Mm-hmm. And the GLBT Resource Center.
We know them, too.
Fry & Associates PLLC Law Firm.
Phyllis Fry, transgendered attorney, who's very famous for some of the cases that she's taken on and who had, you know, made great inroads in the community herself. She was actually one of the first women to appear in public in pants that zipped in the front. You know, women were not allowed to wear zipper front pants for many, many years.
Mm.
We could wear pants that zipped on the side, because that was feminine, but we could not wear pants that zipped in the front like men's trousers. So, Phyllis, yeah, I can see where Phyllis would be a big part of this.
Okay, and OutBusiness.com is sponsoring it. Rice University, which says their byline is unconventional wisdom. There you go.
Makes sense to me.
And Starbucks Coffee.
Oh, well, got to get coffee in there. That sounds good.
I guess so.
So we'll be talking a little bit more after we come back about the kinds of things that they're going to be doing that two-day period and who their speakers might be and the topics that they'll be speaking on. And cool. We'll be talking a little bit about a fundraiser that's coming up tomorrow.
The chocolate?
Yes.
Fundraiser.
Yes. Sweet Savage Chocolate.
Cool.
Just listening to the name makes my mouth water.
And who's that for?
It's actually for the community center, the GLBT Community Center, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History, Inc., and KPFT.
Awesome.
Deborah Bell is doing this. This is her annual. I don't know how long Deborah's been doing this, but it's a little later this year than usual, but that's okay. Chocolate's chocolate. It doesn't matter when you eat it.
Free chocolate?
Free chocolate.
Yes.
Come in. You can bring chocolate. Bring it. We're getting phone calls tonight. You bring chocolate in if you want. You don't have to. It's not a requirement to get in the door. She'll be having all kinds of chocolate there for people to taste the delicacies, etc. And then there's going to be a little bit of a show. I know I've been told by Heather and David, who are both live singers, that they're going to come tomorrow and regale us with a song or two. David Barron, you know. David.
And where is this?
It's going to be at Michael's Outpost at 1419 Richmond, just close to Mandel.
And what time?
4 p.m. to 7 p.m. So you get to sleep in, go to brunch, and then come eat dessert.
Chocolate extravaganza, free chocolate at Michael's Outpost tomorrow at 4 p.m.
That's right. How exciting. Deborah also happens to be, besides being an activist and a person who has chocolate birthdays and an addiction that we won't discuss, it has to do with a sweet tooth. She's also the editor of the Montrose Gym. Very busy young lady.
Yes, indeed.
So. And are you going to cut us off now? No, he's not going to cut us off.
No, you got 2 more minutes.
Okay, we got 2 more minutes. I think you've copied some stuff off of our webpage you were going to talk about this
evening.
Right,
you're listening to the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History Hour, the Gulf Coast Archive History. Remember, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum website is gcam.org.
That's right, G-C-A-M, gcam.org. There's phone numbers and email addresses and all about us and who we are and what we do and how we do it.
Yeah.
I was out at the archive today with my new best friend.
Jennifer.
Jennifer. Except she's got one of those names that kind of throws me for a loop, and she never pronounced it for me today. We spent 4 hours together.
See.
Right there.
It's Polish.
Yeah, well.
T-Y-B-U-R-C-Z-Y.
Yeah.
Yep.
My new best friend. I absolutely
do we,
was
do
right.
We need to buy her a vowel?
One or two, actually. You know, all those letters, and we got a U in the middle of it. And I was like, okay. And she came up and introduced herself, because I'd never met her before, and we drove over to the museum to meet her, to give her a tour. And she walks up, and she says, are you Judy? And I said, yes. Are you Jen? And she said, yes. And that was it. I never got a last name pronounced. And 4 hours later, when we left each other in the parking lot again, I still hadn't asked her how to pronounce her last name. And I hate to mispronounce names. My maiden name was Bulgarakis. And no one can pronounce that. It was vulgaris, the way we shorten it for schools.
It was vulgar, you said?
Vulgaris, yes. It's actually, there's a germ by that name, the vulgaris germ. Mm. Isn't that exciting? But now my name is not that, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. Jennifer's my new best friend.
Yes, we're going to be talking about Jennifer in a little while.
I can tell you what.
No, not right now.
She's doing research into sexuality. That's interesting.
Of course. And I don't know what else we're going to be talking about, but after he gives us all our breaks in here, we're going to be talking about it. So see you on the other side.
Speaking of which, here's your PSAs.
Nepal is a small, landlocked country where communist revolution is changing everything. People are rising up against kings, castes, and imperialism. Women are rising to lead. The revolution is spreading into surrounding India. In May and June of 2010, Eric Rebelarsi traveled to Nepal to report on these events. Join the Fire Collective of Houston for a presentation entitled The Mountains Tremble, a report back from the revolution in Nepal, on Monday, August 2nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Houston Institute for Culture at 708C Telephone Road. Eric Rebelarsi's presentation will tell the story of this revolution, the current situation in Nepal, and feature video and photography from his journey. Again, that event happens Monday, August 2nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Houston Institute for Culture at 708C Telephone Road. For more information, visit www.thefirecollective.org. This is KPFT Houston. fourth annual Christmas in July will be held Saturday, July 24th at Bricker Street Park, 8000 Rockrose Street from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sponsored by the End Time Movement, FMBC, and KPFT, the event is a positive summer concert to motivate youth in this area. Organizers will give away free school supplies to all kids in attendance. Again, the fourth annual Christmas in July will be held Saturday, July 24th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Bricker Street Park, 8000 Rockrose Street. For more info or to donate school supplies, call Curtis Green at 832-785-0398 or email acommunityaffair@hotmail.com. This is KPFT, Houston, Texas.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, while on listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, www.kpft.org. And you can also find After Hours on Facebook at www.facebook.com/afterhours. And back to Judy.
Chris abandoned you, honey?
He was on the phone.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, I noticed the phone keeps ringing.
Yeah, we've had a couple of non-savory phone calls tonight, and
we've only been on 4 minutes.
Well, it wasn't against GCAM. It was kind of perverse phone calls.
Oh. Well.
So to speak.
One man savory is another man sweet.
I've heard that somewhere.
Yeah. So,
Jimmy, if you're listening, I need help in here. Anyway, hello, John. We're back again.
Hello, Judy.
All right. So we're going to talk about the Transgender Non-Discrimination Summit a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of get people an idea of what it is. What, does it cost anything to go?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either. I think their whole focus is education.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're advocating for the academics, people that teach and administer colleges and university. So I'm not sure how wide that appeal is. But anyways, if you are an academic or you do run a university, this is something that would interest you.
All right.
They are going to talk about... Oh, they get a chocolate break at 2:45 on day one.
Oh, I'm going on day one.
Mm-hmm. And then they're going to talk about safe zones, transgender inclusion, current legislation, domestic partner benefits, intersecting ideologies, gender, race, religion, culture. And then they're going to have a roundtable and then dinner at the Transgender Center, which I think is where you work, right?
No, that's not where I work.
No, sorry.
I don't work. I'm retired.
It's late. Where's the there is a Transgender Center. Where is that?
I don't know the address.
Okay.
604 Pacific Street.
Oh, okay.
Would I lie? No, that's where it is. They're having barbecue.
Cool.
Yeah. Chocolate for midday snack and barbecue for dinner.
They have a really long list of committee members.
Well... they need one.
Someone from the Houston GLBT Community Center, someone...
Tim Brookover.
Who is a board member on Equality Texas and a board member of Transgender Education Network of Texas.
It's a busy bunch of people.
Yeah, someone from the Center for the Study of Women, Gender, and Sexuality.
That would be Rosemary or Brian, I'm sure.
Why did they leave out men out of that?
Excuse me? Well, no, it's that's the department at Rice.
Yeah, but it's shouldn't it be men, women, gender, and sexuality, or is it just
no? Women? It's about women.
Oh, okay. And then the Women's Resource Center, Transgender Foundation of America is represented there, the LGBT Resource Center, and Texas State and Texas A&M. Texas A&M has a GLBT Resource Center.
Yes, it does. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think Brian used to. He was either a student or he worked up there. I think he worked up there before he came to Rice.
Hmm.
So.
Cool.
It's, you know, Rice is very much into this.
I'll say.
LGBT stuff. So is U of H now.
And that's where Jennifer came from.
And that's where Jennifer came from.
Now, why did she show up at your doorstep?
She didn't show up at my doorstep. We had dinner together. Tuesday night at the GLBT Community Center has a dinner on the second Tuesday of the month. At a restaurant. Now, this particular month, we met at the Greek restaurant over on Westheimer, once a meal. And she came to the dinner, which is kind of neat because I've been hearing about this woman for years.
Why is that?
I just have, because she's very active in what she does. She was over at the Montrose Counseling Center, and, you know, you hear things about what the transgenders are doing, and her name immediately comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very nice that she actually came to this dinner. She brought all this stuff that we have tonight to talk about her summit. But it was just nice to put a face to the name. Mm-hmm. This is my other new best friend. That's a different Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
But she had to be out of town this weekend. She was going to be up here this evening, and I told her we'd definitely talk about this for her in her absence. She's planning to come up in the not-too-distant future so she can talk to us about what all she's doing with her foundation and all of that.
Cool.
So we can look forward to her closer to the end of the year, I believe.
Okay.
Very energetic woman, very present, a force to be reckoned with when she walks into a room, that's for sure. The whole table just went silent until she sat down and announced herself.
She's an activist in the transgender non-discrimination.
Yes.
Area.
Yes. Very nice woman.
And the other Jennifer, you were starting to talk about her.
Well, the other Jennifer is my new best friend. No. she actually emailed me earlier this week.
She's a grad student?
And she's doing postdoctoral fellow. She's a postdoctoral fellow at the Center for Studies of Women and Gender and Sexuality at Rice University. It's a very popular, you know, place to be right now. And she'll be here for 2 years. And she was, in her past life, she's a past director of programming at the Leather Archives and Museum in Chicago.
Mm.
And so she's a very busy woman. She's going to be here for 2 years working with Rosemary and Brian over at Rice. And she wanted to meet us and see the museum and go see the archives and see how we might fit into the 2 years she's going to be here. She knows what we want to do. She knows our plan. She knows that it's going to be very difficult for us to accomplish our goals. So if she can work it into her program, which is her studies and her students and so on, she's very interested in trying to be a part of what GCAM is doing for the next couple of years.
Nice.
So I was kind of excited. It was a really interesting afternoon.
Why is that?
Well, because we sat and talked for a while. We did a tour of the museum, which she said she thoroughly enjoyed, and made a couple of suggestions. She used to be in charge of, like, putting up exhibits and that kind of stuff. And of course, she had to look at some blank walls at GCAM right now because we're pulling down one exhibit to put up a new one. And so she made a couple of little minor suggestions that asked if I'd thought about doing it a little differently. And I said, well, yeah, I had, but hadn't quite figured out how to do it yet. So, you know, we talked about GCAM a lot. We talked about how they do things at the Leather Archives and Museum and the kind of space they have, and I learned some stuff that I didn't know before. I also know that I want to go back to Chicago and actually see the museum this time. I didn't get to last time I was there. And so that's on my list of places to go and people to see.
Does GCAM have a leather collection?
Oh, we have a very large leather collection by, you know, comparison to many museums. We have things that belong to not only, you know, we have colors from several organizations, but we have vests that belong to various community members, like Daddy Caspian. We have his full leather outfit, or the majority of it, and his vest with his colors on it, or with colors on it, and lots of badges and pins on it. So it's very, it's history all its own, just one vest, and it's a huge history. We also have Boots's jacket. Leather by Boots used to be a store here in Houston, and we have his jacket. And we know it's his jacket because it says Leather by Boots in big, you know, on the back. Now, we knew it was his jacket before that. But anyway, in L.A., Houston is a big organization here in town, in the community.
National.
Okay.
That
was just like, I went totally blank.
NLA?
NLA, yes.
National Leather Association?
Well, okay, that works.
Okay.
But it's like, duh. But, you know, they're here. We had, you know, biker clubs. We've had all kinds of clubs. The Misfits, Colt 45s, a lot of, you know, that are not strictly, you know, I'm not going to try to get into the leather community and discuss all of that because I don't know all of that.
But you have a lot of their stuff.
But we have a lot of stuff from the leather community. And take good care of it. Stephen Bunch comes over periodically and cleans it up for us. We have a huge display case in the very front of the museum area by the elevators that is really a depiction of Marvin Davis or Lady Victoria Lust's history, and her leather patches and stuff, the front of her vest and stuff are in that case. She was, again, another figure to be, you know, reckoned with in the community. She started doing a lot of fundraising and so on, and eventually a lot of her efforts came into play as the PWA Holiday Charities, which is still very active and kind of headed by Don Gill at this point in the community. So we do have a lot of leather that we do our best to take care of. It's hard to display where we are because we don't, you know, we can't just leave it out in the hallways.
It would walk.
Yeah, it would walk. So we're trying to put the office together in such a manner that we can maybe put up some of our mannequins and stuff and display them in the office so that when we're doing tours, we don't have them hanging on, you know, on racks. So we'd like to display them a little differently. And besides, they need to be on the curved shoulders of mannequins, not, you know, the uncurved shoulders of coat hangers.
Even, or you could even do an interactive ones. Exhibit. How would you do that?
An interactive exhibit? I have no idea.
That would be a new one.
How would you do an interactive museum?
I have no idea. I'm throwing that at you.
Okay, well, don't do that. Because I haven't got a clue. But, do what? Yeah. The only leather vest I put on is mine. I don't wear other people's.
Leather reenactment.
Okay.
There you go.
Daddy Caspian's ghost. And never mind. We won't go there. All right. Hi, honey. How are you?
Does this mean I have to wear that damn beaded dress just to work in the office again?
Yes.
Damn.
But that's okay. That's okay, honey. He had an idea for a show he needs to discuss with you. I won't even talk about it on the mic. Then you hear me call you and tell you I needed help.
Ooh.
Yeah, he and Chris were discussing things.
Oh, that's too dangerous.
Yeah, there you go. That's why I was calling for help.
Can you say that word online?
Let's see. Is he wearing those jeans again? No.
No, I'm in shorts.
No, okay. He's in shorts tonight. I don't know. Ask him. Can you say this word on
the
show,
C
Jimmy?
Word?
I think you can.
Condom?
Of course. See?
You can say rubber.
Cool.
He wants
word
to do a whole
use.
Show on condoms.
No, history of condoms.
Oh, the history of condoms. I'm sorry.
Oh.
And since I don't know the history of condoms and don't want to know, I kind of left it with him and Chris.
Once upon
oh
a
my
time,
God,
children.
They're as old as Egypt.
I know, but I don't use them.
You need a mic. I can't hear you.
Here's a mic. You can't hear
they me. They are as old as ancient Egypt.
They're as old as Jimmy.
That's right. In biblical times?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What did they use?
Lamb skin.
Uh-huh.
Actually, lamb's intestines, I believe it was.
I wonder how many of those you get out of a single lamb.
I don't know, but I'm not going to gut a lamb to find out.
That would make a good
That's
exhibit for the museum.
That's what they put sausage in now.
In Literally.
You know, what you put it on, what you do sexually is your business.
I'm talking about the sausage you buy in the store.
Oh.
For breakfast.
There you go.
Kielbasa.
A new GCAM exhibit, History of Condoms.
You are so wrong. It just is not going to happen.
It has legs. I like it. It's a good idea.
And I should care that you like it because.
No, it is a good idea.
There you go.
This is the show
Two against
for it.
One.
This is a show for it, but we are not doing an exhibit.
An interactive exhibit.
An interactive exhibit.
With, like, stuff.
Okay, pull up a mic and sit down.
You go.
Does this mean I get to help with the fittings?
Wait a minute.
There you go.
You would
as far as I'm concerned,
fittings.
You can.
I mean, these are great ideas. These are things that would draw people in. $15 a piece, people would pay.
Yeah, they would pay $15, and then I'd have to go drag them out kicking and screaming and then throw their pants at them when they got to the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in this community a long time, girl. I know these things.
Yeah, we used to have the erotica room.
And I was the only person with a key because I caught all of my...
Did you really?
Yes, of course we did.
What a wonderful idea. What
it was
happened?
Actually, this is even better than an erotica room. It was an erotica closet. All of our erotica was in the closet.
Oh, that is such
it
a great
fabulous.
Idea.
It was fabulous. We put a big lock on the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And when I caught all of my volunteers in there when they were supposed to be doing something for an exhibit, I locked the door and wouldn't let them back in.
And they loved it.
No, they hated it because I locked
hated
the door.
Oh. But we had it locked because we had...
It has to be.
Yeah, we had underage people in.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
They had, we card people.
But it was a very large walk-in closet.
Oh, yeah. It was huge. Wonderful artwork in there on the walls.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about erotica, are we talking about artwork? Are we talking about, like...
Both.
Our erotica's erotica.
Right.
Yeah, we had things, too.
Things, yeah.
Original artwork.
Can we talk about those things on the radio?
Ask him.
Of course.
Okay, tell me about those things.
You gave the kids the seven words they can't say. I didn't.
I don't know if you've ever heard the name Al Parker.
No.
He's... was a very big star in gay male porn.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a magazine that is so old, he's on the cover of it, but he doesn't get any credits. He wasn't a star yet.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a model.
Wow.
So they didn't even, you know.
This is before.
This was before he became a star.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool. And then the things. What else?
We've got some... We can talk about the nudist magazines that we have
from
the
50s. We can talk about them, we just can't show them.
But is it when you talk about erotica in the closet, is it all paper?
No, it's not. I mean, we have artwork, too. We have objects.
We have objects. We have
what kind of objects?
Statuary. Dildos.
Come on.
Toys.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about the wooden one we have?
Yeah. we have films. And both VHS and DVDs.
We have pre-AIDS porn and post-AIDS porn.
Yeah.
Well,
that's kind of like the difference in...
It's a huge
what
difference.
Movies. Yeah, I mean, it's like black and white.
Yeah. What is the difference between pre-AIDS and post-AIDS porn? Go on.
Condoms.
Condoms.
Oh, really?
Yes.
In post-AIDS porn, the condoms are being used?
Unfortunately, there's now a trend... of several companies making bareback movies, which is, I consider, very dangerous in this era because very young people are going to see these and think it's okay to have sex without a condom.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Especially anal sex, mm-hmm. which is the worst thing you can do. Mm-hmm. Absolutely the worst thing.
And so you see the sexual practices changing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But
the stories don't change. It's still just one story.
There was a huge pressure on the porn studios after the advent of AIDS is to make everybody wear condoms. And the porn people resisted for a while until people started not buying their product. Because of it.
So who was making these demands? Was it the straight community?
No.
Was it the gay community?
Yes, we were policing ourselves.
We were trying to get people to behave so they could live longer.
Yeah.
And so
we were the only ones fighting that fight, trust me.
Post-AIDS porn is a result of the gay community stepping up and saying things are changing.
And there are other subtle differences in
go ahead.
Pre-AIDS and post-AIDS. And that...
isn't it funny how Paul
men
sits tonight?
In pre-AIDS...
Yeah.
Wore white socks with yellow stripes.
Yes. And were very bushy.
There was no manscaping back
his
then.
His mouth
but,
is hanging
but
open.
These days...
White socks with yellow stripes?
Yeah, at the top, yeah. But these days...
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was part of the standard uniform. Mm-hmm. You wore white socks with yellow stripes.
Oh, yeah.
Blue jogging
shorts. No, we're not.
We're not joking.
Yeah, we're not joking.
All the
white socks. White socks
era,
had a stripe, a color stripe.
If I walked into a public place with white socks and yellow stripes,
they think you were gay.
They would think
No. All the white socks were that way in those days. These days, when porn stars are either trimmed or shaved.
Ew.
It's just one of the little
or if you get certain films out of the Czech Republic, they haven't grown them yet.
Yeah. Oh.
Down, girl. Well, you know, on that note, Chris, we have 1950s what would be considered porn today. In fact, it's illegal porn today.
Mm-hmm.
We have boxes and boxes of nudist magazines from the 1950s, which we can't show anyone. We just kind of house them. We save them for what? I don't know.
Because when things turn again.
Yeah, because we can't even show them to the people we card who can legally look at our porn because they have children in them. And back then it was okay.
Back then it was innocent. And it was innocent. And it is innocent in the nudist.
It isn't in our government's eyes.
It is innocent in the nudist.
Oh,
way of life.
It's not porn. It's nudist.
Nudist,
it's
right.
Naturalist.
Naturalist, nudist, yes.
When a gay museum owns it, it's porn.
But you see,
our laws are different than any other museum's laws, trust me.
Yeah.
Well, they had a similar case happening right now over in England. They've got a cup that features what is believed to be under a NAMBLA. of the Greek study, where you have an older professor with a young student and a young slave peering in on them, and there's talks about they can't really display it because it falls under the broad net they throw for child pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we covered it about a month or a month and a half ago, where the BBC showed a picture of that cup on television, and there was talk about whether or not they were going to get in trouble for technically under that broad net of throwing out of broadcasting child pornography.
Yeah. See, and back in the 40s and the 50s, porn, gay porn, was almost entirely impossible to get. It was very, very rare.
But you didn't need it.
There were stag movies for the straight community, which were also very rare and hard to find. So the only place you could see a penis was in a nudist magazine. So gay men bought a lot of them. They were, of course, not erect or anything like that, because that's not the point of nudism. But that was our first erotica, actually. And
well, there's also in the straight community that, because... You know,
I've never seen so many people in here for our segment before. It's amazing. It's standing room only in these two rooms. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Chris. I just happened to notice more heads popping up.
See what happens when you mention the word erotica.
Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Say condom and they all stand the rest.
Yeah.
I want one.
And Jimmy will show you the special technique.
Yes, Jimmy wants to be the demonstrator here.
Yes, I can put them on people without using my hands.
I'll bet.
That doesn't surprise me in the least. But
when was the last time I ever knocked off the air for a month?
That we will not be demonstrating.
Paul, our intrepid photographer, is here, getting an earful.
He's even sitting in here listening tonight. Normally he takes two shots and he's out of here.
Yeah, right.
You know, what can I say?
There was a chair unoccupied.
I've heard it all before.
There was some famous court cases about, because the erotica, the pornography was policed actually by the post office. Because you couldn't send it through the mail, and you got caught sending through the mail, you got put in jail.
Which, when we invented brown envelopes.
I thought that's what the internet was for.
And well, that was before the internet, girl.
This is some.
And when Allen Ginsberg's poem Howl went to trial, and the obscenity charge was knocked down, that kind of opened the door for a lot of things, and pornography was one of them. And so for a period of time, there was a lot of magazines with flaccid penises, and then gradually into the 1970s they got chubbier and chubbier and half mast, and then, you know, finally erect, but the partner couldn't touch, you couldn't show anyone touching it in any way. So you would have these pictures of a guy on his knees in front of another male
who was erect, and you know, he was like
three inches away
from the man's penis with his mouth open, you know, and that
you fill in the blank.
Let's tell him from the imagination. Can't tell him everything.
Yeah, and so gradually it became what it is today. And that was the same in the straight community too.
So not the sort of thing you could do an interactive display on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why not?
Because the curator said no.
Oh.
See, you're going to regret that title someday, aren't you?
But you could do one with condoms.
But once we get a space and we have a nice large erotica room, we'll be able to...
For which I'll have the key.
We'll be able to explain all of that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
Come one, come all. We're giving condom lessons to the kiddies today.
No. I mean the history of erotica and porn in this country.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Jimmy will be holding little mini seminars in the erotica room.
There you go.
Yeah, I could, actually.
Yeah, think? Why do you think I keep you around? You're this little fountain of odd information.
And for a long time in the 60s, the best pornography came from...
Sweden?
Yes, very good. Mm-hmm. Yes, Scandinavian.
This is a straight man over here,
countries.
Am I right?
Until by the mid-70s, we had just run them over. And
we being the United States.
The United States. And we still do the best porn.
No opinion here. Statement of fact.
We do.
Hands down.
Well, however, even now, the face of porn is changing because there's less and less magazine.
You know, I gave up my porn collection with the divorce. I don't
know
that.
Yeah. Much less magazines and periodicals.
Because you can get it on the web now. Who
exactly
needs something in the house?
Exactly. Even in local bookshops, they're finding that
there's still local bookstores.
People are not even renting them as much as they used to because they're getting them off the net, getting all they want off the net, and. Because it can be rented off the net and played on your own machine. Yeah, playing on your own computer.
See, I'm on fixed income. I don't do those things.
I don't either, but I...
But you know about it.
I know about it,
you
yes.
have friends who have friends who have friends.
You got
who have
it.
Money.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
One of the companies, just one of the publishing companies, went out, and that took like seven different magazines out of the picture all at once.
Yeah.
Just like, and suddenly the stands were bare.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, the interesting thing is, since we're just discussing this, there actually is a gay porn production company here in Houston, Texas.
Yes, there is. I don't know how well
I didn't
they
know
do.
You were
we
going ought back to work, Jimmy.
I would love to have. See.
and one of the ways that they promote it is actually give either free performances of some of their models
what?
Online.
Oh.
Or there's been times where they have, while filming it, mm-hmm. you get a you'll have a there'll be a webcam in the background, so you're seeing the actual production of a video.
Oh, I don't think you want to see that.
Why am I here?
And others. My God, you'd have been asked that for how many years?
I don't think that you want to see them actually filming pornography because that is so non-erotic.
Well, that would take all the thrill out of it, trust me.
That's part of it. That the one time I saw when they were actually doing that filming, you know, when they had to stop, and so all the people who were in the chat room watching this performance
mm-hmm.
starts going, why aren't they doing anything? Why? And then fortunately, they got smart, and they have moderators who know what to tell them. Say, hey, look, they're actually filming this as it is. It's between scenes. They're changing. They're setting up. You know, they're mm-hmm. getting. You know, they're moving from the shower.
The
to
actor's
the
getting fluffed. You know, whatever.
Yeah. And so they were trying to figure what all this action is. Why is this out? Why is this guy coming in and talking to them? It's like he's the director.
No, what?
You know, then
I want that web address later.
Yeah,
I sent it to you already.
They shouldn't even do that because that takes the magic out of it.
But the other things they do is they just, like I said, so they have two
tall powder puff. Yeah,
they'll have two or three of the performers just on a leather couch. I don't know how they do that, and just
carefully.
And it's broadcast free so that you find out about them. And so, yeah, if...
Yeah, I mean...
I was just trying to figure out how we could work a way of discussing
them. I think we've gone from the history aspect of this discussion.
It's the very future.
No, this is the future history.
We're talking history. We're not future.
Future history.
Future history.
Yes.
James, you've been having too many condoms.
Future trends.
But no, that was just the thing of where we're talking of where this is going. And, you know, we've talking from going of porn where it's... You have to show people playing volleyball so that it's... can get through to the censors to a situation now where anyone can produce it and submit it around the world for their approval or disapproval.
I don't want to see a bunch of naked men playing volleyball.
Gives a whole
new
whole new concept there to spiking it.
Oh, ouch.
All right. Well, we've digressed about as much as we can, I think.
No, not with this show.
Not with this. Okay.
No.
I'm not going to be responsible for getting us knocked off the air for a month. I'm not.
Why? Who are you rubbing?
We're not.
Yeah, but we keep sinking lower in that pit.
Well, we're not exactly. No. Yeah.
Jen, where are you? You were supposed to know. And she's at home asleep.
Okay. Well, we're.
I don't have a problem. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
So.
Hello. I know that.
You said hard.
But
she said giving a hard time that she sticks out.
But you know, when they're showing the production of a porn, you know, you're going to have this big muscle-bound dude who's the top, and then they stop production, and you're going to hear this guy go, "Oh, Mary," and you know that just takes all the just takes it all away. It's like, you never look at that guy the same way again.
Oh, well.
But most of the videos these days have a behind the scenes thing in the menus.
Yes,
almost all of them now. It's like you get to watch what happened.
Special features
and interviews with the actors.
Commentary from the director.
Yeah, yeah. A lot more fun at comments games than that would be for this. I'm watching the aftermath of a porn film. It's like, ew. Okay.
So it's anybody's guess.
You know, I always enjoy more when they never open their mouths, because seriously, when it is like, okay, honey, it's like, oh my god, yeah. You know, where is this?
It's just anybody's guess where our erotica and porn are going to go next.
It'll be 3D in your living room.
Well, that's a good possibility.
I'd rather have live action in my living room.
Well, it might get to the point where it seems like that.
Jimmy, have you seen the computer animated porn?
No, I have not.
I have.
Computer animated
anime.
It's getting better.
Yes.
I have one word for that. Ew.
In Japan, it's incredibly popular.
I know.
With teenage girls
to
see animated pornography of gay males.
And this
don't
is
ask me
to
why.
Make me happy. Why?
Where do you come by this fact?
He's Jimmy.
I read a lot. I'm on a lot of different porn groups. Yes.
Yeah, I really don't
want adult male groups.
I really don't want my granddaughter sitting in her bedroom watching anime from Japan on gay males having sex. I mean, excuse me, I'm a little more prudish than that when it comes to my 15-year-old granddaughter.
I think part of it could be that maybe with the anime and that sort of stuff, they don't have to pixelate the scenes as you do with real Japanese porn.
Well, yeah, because in Japanese porn, they pixelate the... It's not that...
I don't know what that means.
The genitals themselves are considered rude. It's the hair. And so genitals are pixelated in Japanese porn.
So what's the point?
Hello.
Yes, that's the best question.
That's where we look at it.
But no, there is actually now computer-generated porn, like Avatar with sex.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, where it's completely computer-generated characters, not anime, where it's cartoonish.
It's cartoonish.
Out realistic.
Yeah, more realistic, so they don't have to pixelate.
Why? That's five people staring at me. Well, it's a simple question.
I don't know.
It's the crazy customs of different countries.
But no, I saw a link today for my first one of those. I hadn't clicked on it to see of this realistic.
So if you can call it anime or a cartoon or whatever, that what makes it okay for kids?
No. We're not talking about kids. We're talking about.
We used to teenage girls.
We're not even talking about teenage girls. We're away from that.
You have to remember that in some cultures, cartoons or animation films and all that are like how it originally was. Animations were not intended for weren't children's programming necessarily.
Mm-mm.
They were for adults.
Yeah.
And in the Japanese culture, they have taken that and used those cartoons or animes in both the book form and in television programs. And it does have a very strong adult theme to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a, when you say cartoon, everyone thinks
Bugs Bunny.
Even Bugs Bunny wasn't intended for kids.
I know, I've heard some of those cartoons.
So, you know, it's one of those things where it's, these are ones that are geared to an adult
mm-hmm.
taste. And because of other cultures that are a little more open and accepting of, more fluid in their sexuality and their tolerance of different aspects of it, you can get away with Japanese film that could have stuff you would not allow here in the United States based off of age or based off of activity or any of that. But God help you if you show a pubic hair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
The world has left.
Well, it's probably changed, but there is another Japanese custom in straight porn. Actually, in Japanese lovemaking, that women kept their breasts covered during lovemaking.
That's a waste.
They didn't consider that a sexual part.
Mm. Well, okay, but that's their culture. That's their thing. That's different than what I'm hearing. It may not be what Chris is saying, but that's different than what I'm hearing.
Okay.
Okay. You know, when you're looking at things on a screen,
mm-hmm.
be it computer or television or movie or whatever, I mean, there's a lot of this animated whatever kind of movies out. I don't go see those either. I mean, Shrek was a cartoon. We saw Shrek. Okay, fine. But I mean, I don't want to pay $20 to go see an animated kind of thing that has people that look like people that aren't really people. You know, I mean, if I'm going to pay $20, I'm going to go see a star. You know. But I mean, what is?
You mean like 300? The movie 300.
I know nothing about the movie 300.
It's
never even heard
about Sparta, and it's
these animated people things.
A lot of the characters were computer generated rather than
computer generated. That's a good word. But what is the point? I mean,
because
is that so you can watch porn and say I didn't watch porn, I watched this because it was not.
No, that's just another type
form
of form of it. Yes,
it's very bizarre to me. I'm a people person.
See, part of it is you're able to step back from reality so that you can always say, okay, you're watching bareback sex, but these people aren't real.
So they're not going to get sick.
So they're not going to get sick. There's part of that fantasy. There's part of the fact that you can be more creative in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You
can get into positions that are absolutely impossible for humans.
I guess that's part of my problem with all of that.
You can make the Kama Sutra look like,
this is not real. Don't try this at home. Bull, they're going to try it at home. We're going to have people in the emergency room. You know?
And in a way, because you can get those characteristics of what you're going to want in that. Instead of trying to go out and search and find that person and then make sure that they're...
Mm-hmm. It's easier to make.
Sometimes it's easier to just make that person. But there are still limitations on that stuff. So it's not... That's just where the next step is. And, you know, some of it could also be from the fact that up until recently, you know, you can make it look a little younger. They didn't put child pornography as much onto if it's generated art rather than...
It's legal. It's just not real ethical.
It's another way to get around the law.
But see, they're cracking down on some of this stuff. Another story we did from Roundtable in Australia, somebody was busted for having those Simpsons parody pornography.
Yeah.
And they were busted not for copyright infringement, but because they had sexual activities involving the characters of Bart, Lisa, and Milhouse being children involved in that. And so this person was had completely fake, no way of even thinking it was realistic, but because it portrayed someone underage, he was still charged under child pornography laws.
Good for him.
So that's...
See, you learn something new every week here on After Hours.
Kind of makes me wish Kelly was 70.
Your niece.
My granddaughter.
Your granddaughter, that's right. Sorry.
50 yeah, is a very dangerous age.
Yes, it is for a girl, especially because she can apply makeup to make her look much older.
I won't even tell you. I can't. I'm on the radio. I won't even tell you what I said to her father today.
Because I saw those pictures and I thought it was a mid-20s
I am
woman.
So very unhappy with those pictures.
And she's 15.
Just barely.
And she is not a bright child.
No, she's definitely...
She has no street smarts, is what I meant to say.
No, she's and not so, bright when it comes to that. She's
you know, if she goes out in public looking like that, she's going to have all kinds of guys sniffing her.
Well, it just irritates me that he doesn't have sense enough not to put those on the computer.
Oh, yeah.
Her name.
On Facebook.
Her name on Facebook. Uh-oh. And it was like, I saw that picture. Yesterday, I was just kind of, my Facebook page was up, and these things kind of appeared, and I went, what is he talking about? Because it was my son. I went, what's he talking about? So I went and I just clicked on the picture. I went, when I realized who it was.
Yeah.
It just, and then there were six of them. And, you know, I called him up and I just chewed him up one side and down the other. I called him everything that I could think of. And was like, what were you thinking to put this child's pictures on the computer like this? There's nothing wrong with the pictures. I mean, it's not child porn.
No.
It's not half naked or anything like
but
that.
But it makes
it's
15...
It's very suggestive pictures.
Yes, but it's very... It's
she doesn't even know these are suggestive pictures. That's how sheltered she is.
Yeah, they're very sexy.
Ugh.
And they make a 15-year-old girl look like she's 25.
And they make a 60-year-old woman's blood boil. You know, it's just... And with her name, I'm sure her mother would die if she saw those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God they don't have a computer at home.
But there's anyway, excellent makeup job. Which,
and I guess, yeah, and I had this sneaking hunch that my sister did that. I've got to call in for her. She hasn't returned it yet.
Okay.
I have a feeling after talking to Ben, she won't. But, I mean, that's the whole thing. We're talking about this stuff, and you can call it anime, you can call it Japanese, whatever the heck you wanted to call it. But to someone like Kelly, who is very sheltered and is, I'm sorry, love you like a sister, is not the brightest bulb on the string, honestly, because of the way she's being raised, is going to see something like that on a computer someday, and she's going to be glued to that screen.
Sure.
And to her, it's a cartoon. To her, it's not real. To her, it's... But to this very educated 16-year-old sitting next to her, it's an invitation. So... Yeah, I'm not a prude. I don't have a problem with the erotica we collect at the museum.
No, you don't, ever. You
yeah,
never have.
Never. But when it comes to what you're putting on a computer screen for a kid to run across accidentally, I'm very protective of them.
Okay. But the question is this, okay, with this, with that, whose job is it to police? Is it the parents or is it
society? It's all adults.
It's all adults.
It is.
If I walk past a kid in a library who's got something up that is suggestive and they, depending on what their age is, I'm going to find the nearest adult who has some kind of power over that kid.
But what
be it the librarian or be it her parents, yeah.
But what if, let's say you're misjudging and that person is actually of 18 or that and looking at something and you're, I get in this thought of this discussion on this, if it's like, What right would you have to interfere with how this child is being raised on this matter?
That's a judgment. No, that there are laws that protect children. And I don't care if her mother wants her to see every naked man that ever, you know, stood in front of a camera. There are laws that protect this kid. This kid is not capable of making these decisions. an adult supposedly is. I mean, you can make a
decision. But why is it your responsibility? Why is it community?
I'll tell you why it's my responsibility. Because I was a sexually abused child, and I believe that every child deserves a fair break in life. And if we have a parent who believes in child porn or whatever, that kid needs to be protected against that parent.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I am with it. I'm not out to save the world. I'm not a prude. I'm not worried about everybody in the world. I think that children deserve a break. Children are not cognitive thinkers.
No.
They are not capable of making intelligent
sexual decisions.
Choices when it comes to those things. And I think they need protection. And if that's protecting them from their parent or their grandparent, I'm right there for them.
And I also want to add that I don't think that 18 or 17, as it is in Texas, is the magic age.
Chase Chris off. No, it's not.
Some young people are mature enough to make those decisions at 14 or 15, and many are not really capable of making them into their
20s. Yeah. And Kelly's one of those, unfortunately.
Yes, yes. And
you know, just a slight learning disability slows you down enough to where you cannot make intelligent decisions for yourself.
Yes.
You're just, this is a father sitting here eyeballing me. What?
How old are your children, by the way?
11 and soon to be 14.
Wow. So you're just coming into that kind of area with your own children.
Yeah, I think when you talk about porn on the internet, I think you're avoiding the bigger issue, which is if it's out there, you can get to it.
Yes.
Regardless.
Well, that's why Chris says whose responsibility.
You can't filter it. You can't put a piece of software on there that's going to keep
people
from looking at it. Because of the language differences, there's no filter out there that's going to be able to
catch
every single permutation of the word porn in every language. And so sooner or later, if a kid wants to, they'll either stumble across it or they'll get to it themselves.
Well, that's why I say I see a kid in a library with that kind of screen up, I'm going to find an adult who has power over that kid.
Right. You certainly have to monitor them. And it's like in our household, we don't have a wireless router because our kids have iPod touches, which are like small computers, so they can browse the internet if they want to. And I don't want them to be able to get on the internet at will when I'm not watching them. We have one computer in the household that they can get on, but I know what they're looking at when they're going on it, and it's in the living room.
Good place.
For kids to have these wireless devices and be able to browse the internet at will, all they got to do is
you can't stop them.
What about soft porn, right? I mean, like back in the day, the Sears catalog, right, with the lingerie ads.
Oh yes, or the men's underwear ads. Yes,
there you go. How do you filter against that?
You can't.
No.
You can't.
So in a way,
I'm maybe a little devil's advocate here. Because they can go on the internet, they can find out real information about sex that I think you and I didn't have growing up.
Oh, absolutely.
And how do you sort out what's real information as opposed to what somebody's vivid imagination?
Well, I don't know how it is. Is for women and girls, but for boys growing up, you found out about sex from the kid down the street who gave out such wrong information.
Well, what I'm gonna say, Elvis lives in Corpus. I mean, how are you gonna get
this kind of skewed idea about sex in general. If children and young adults can get real information about sex, that is, how many parents sit down and talk to their children about sex?
Well, I have a thought. Let's put it back in the schools. Oops, just attacking.
That's one way of doing it. But
parents aren't going to sit down and talk to their
children. But when you let the schools decide on how they teach it,
And maybe that's where parents need to get in touch with the school systems again. I mean, it used to be back in the olden days, parents went to teacher meetings, parents went to school board meetings. I mean, they were involved with your children's lives.
Have you had the sex talks with your children?
Oh yeah, Oh, yeah.
We had him with
Tootsie Pops. We've talked. I've talked to my son about masturbation and you know, how everybody does it.
Yes.
And that kids are going to joke, ha, 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 you know, you masturbate. But everybody does it. So
and the ones who say they don't are lying.
Exactly. And, but to me, it's kind of like putting this information in front of them and telling them your perspective is a lot better than them going through life wondering, you know, am I strange because I do this?
Or feeling sinful because they do it. Or, you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, talking to kids... it really is up to the parent, and
I agree with you.
It is
when you put it into the hands of the teachers, then you get into this thing like we do with like religion in schools. Well, which religion are we going to teach? And
yeah.
What beliefs are we going to teach? And
well, that's part of what I was saying with you know, of having my high school time with the sex education was at the very. Towards the very beginning of the AIDS crisis, I had a health class for me was 1988 in high school. When
I never knew you were such a child.
When it came time in health class to talk about sex, my teacher, who was one of the football coaches, who is very religious, wouldn't show us the sex ed film. He sent us to another classroom. Where we had two classes at the same time sitting in this one classroom. Some of us were on the floor watching the sex ed vid. And it was a horrible... The way some of the,
Back in the 60s, we didn't even have that.
The theatrical performance they had of showing insemination...
No, we didn't have any of that.
The vagina looked like it was a woodblock cut and something stuck in and shot. You know, nothing being realistic. And once... We saw that when a couple of days later we went back into our class for health class. He showed us some, I don't remember exactly what he talked about, but it was a preacher named Romer. I forget his last name. It's something along those lines. It's a televangelist who, during Vietnam, got hit with a white phosphorus bomb, so part of his face is disfigured. His hands are misshapen because of the explosion. And that was the discussion you had in that. The thing is, he wanted to make sure we had a religious perspective.
Oh.
There was also the sex education.
But then again, what religion? Yeah.
Well, then I can also tell you the sex education class that I had... as being a Catholic, because we had, as part of the steps of being confirmed, becoming an adult in the church, they did a small discussion on sex education.
God, I never had that.
Mm-mm. And the only part of that I remember was everyone laughing when they made the comment of this girl was walking through the woods and came across a tree stump.
Yeah.
The tree had fallen down and all the termites were there. She kind of reaches in and grabs a handful of the pulp of the tree and starts talking about sexually transmitted diseases.
What?
And all of us just kind of laughed at it, going, what the hell are they talking about?
I'm wondering myself.
Those are sorts of things of what was being taught then, and now you can't even teach that much.
Mm.
Because, you know, in... The Texas policy is still the ABC.
Yeah.
Abstinence, be faithful, and condoms...
if necessary.
Yeah. sort of thing.
A lot of the old schools have explicit books tucked away in the back room from the 20s and 30s when they were quite frank in the books they published.
Yes, in the 20s and 30s they were quite frank about it. Yeah.
The librarians didn't throw them out, but you have to know to ask for
Yes, and no... kid is going to ask a librarian for a book about sex. Sorry.
Well, this is a discussion that's been going on for 40 years with parents and school systems and something, and we're not going to solve the problems of the world here tonight, but honestly, I don't think cartoons on a computer are the answer either. Or you know, whatever you want to call it.
When I was
we had a call,
unreal people.
We had a caller who was complaining that he doesn't feel we were drawing the line strong enough between animated pornography and Pokemon.
Oh,
okay.
And it's like, now,
we were talking about...
I don't know the difference.
Everything we were talking about was adult-oriented. We are not
We're not talking about anime. Yeah.
We said anime as in the term, because it's a Japanese animation form. Mm. There's good and there's bad, and, you know...
But we're talking about adult anime.
Yeah,
yes.
And unfortunately, this person wasn't getting it through that.
Okay.
We didn't say anything about Pokemon.
No.
Although Pharaoh was hot.
No.
But, you know...
What?
Never mind.
Just have to stir the pot. but, that, you know, there's that... So, just want to clarify that there, that we're not discussing... We're not going against Channel 39's Saturday morning block right now.
No, you got another call. You must not have explained it well.
No.
I'm not taking any phone calls. Screw them.
It's hard to take phone calls because we're talking from both studios, and the phone is only in the studios.
So if you're calling and you want to talk about anime, hang up and go to World of Warcraft and talk to somebody in there.
I remember my first sex education thing. I was in the son of two doctors, and I still heard about sex from my school before I heard it from my parents.
Amazing.
And let me tell you, that was a confusing piece of work. And by the time I had had any conversation with my parents on the subject of sex, I had already figured out that everything they were talking about wasn't what I would be engaging in.
Yeah, it was.
Your tab A wasn't going into that.
It was worthless information
for
you.
Wasn't happening.
Yes.
I mean, but I can vividly remember some 25 plus 30 years later being completely confused by that class. I was like, I still walked away from that class not completely understanding what the female anatomy was.
And you still don't know.
I have a much better understanding of it now than I did then. And I still didn't have to have sex to find out. Anyway, it's just... And while I understand the... Yeah, and for the, and for these people who are getting all irate about, you know, the different... You know, I spend a lot of time in sci-fi and fantasy conventions and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, and yes, there is a major difference between Pokemon...
And Pokemon.
And, yeah, exactly. I mean...
There is that video out there.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
They gave up.
Is that the Rastafarian version of Pokemon?
Okay.
Question for you, Jimmy.
Got 2 minutes or less.
Oh, that's
we got
this?
2 minutes.
Oh, it's not a two-minute question.
Ask him anyway.
So, first time you saw porn. Gay porn.
God, yes. He was 4 years old. Let's not go there.
No, that's the first time I performed gay sex.
He started early.
Yeah.
Really early.
Answer quick.
The first time I saw gay porn, it was a magazine, and I was 15 years old.
How'd you get it?
From an older friend.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. In high school?
Mm-hmm.
And he was obviously gay as well?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And at the same time, my father had a collection of nudist magazines that I peeked at. Of course, I was looking at all the guys.
Right. Yeah.
And this was probably early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, with me, I didn't even know that they had gay porn stuff, of gay porn magazines, until... Because I was the oldest, I'm the oldest brother. I've got two younger brothers, so I was the one who we'd gather our money and I'd go to the convenience store and buy the dirty magazines for us to read.
Mm-hmm.
And the one convenience store I went to had, you know, the 3-pack of old ones, and I looked over the one time and go, "Ooh, there's gay porn over here."
In a convenience store?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas?
Here.
Oh yeah.
And so I was like, this stuff, and I found, oh okay, there's. That was my gateway. As I, you know, buy the 3-pack of old Hustlers, and next door is the 3-pack of Play Guy, Mandate,
mm-hmm.
All those other dead ones, all the other dead organizations that are around, Honcho, and
we have lots of those at G Camp.
Progress from there.
I'm pretty sure my first gay porn like magazines mm-hmm. was from the local candy store.
because they had this top row, which was porn, and I was like, wait a minute, are there men on these covers? I'm like, woohoo. Yay.
Well, I'm not sure anybody cares, but this actually has been the GCAM segment After Hours tonight.
The amazing things you learn with
GCAM. Judy and John talking about all kinds of condoms and porn and everything. What?
I think it makes perfect sense what we were talking about. We started with the collection, and we morphed into the erotica collection at the museum, and that kind of
real life.
No,
I was
getting an
I was just trying to
do some promos.
I was trying to close this down. And
well, we can close it down after the promos. How's that?
Okay, bye. Well, he said close it down.
After the promos.
We'll be right back.
It's time for KPFT's local station board elections, and you could be a candidate for either a staff or listener position. The candidate deadline has been extended to July 19th, so there's plenty of time to get in the action. Board delegates are essential to the Pacifica Network as they provide the dialogue between the community and the station that ensures that the community's needs are being met. KPFT wants your expertise and your voice to help decide upon important matters in our local station board. To collect your candidate packet, either download it from PacificaElections2010.org or pick up a physical copy at the KPFT offices at 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, 77006. For more information, contact Kathy Kidd, the local election supervisor, at 281-668-8854. This is 90.1 FM, Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston, Texas. The Houston Lutheran Blind Mission, or HLBM, will hold its monthly meeting and dinner for the blind and sight impaired at 11 a.m. on Saturday, July 24, 2010, at Memorial Lutheran Church, 5800 Westheimer Road. The HLBM will present a luncheon meal where we will recognize fellow members. It will be an afternoon of food and fellowship for families and friends. Have fun and learn about yourself at this meeting. The Lutheran Blind Mission is an organization that provides social interaction, life skills support, and Christian fellowship for the blind and sight impaired of all faiths. The driver for any blind or sight impaired person is welcome to enjoy our dinner and the evening with us. The meeting will be in the fellowship hall and will end at 1 p.m. Please call Tracy Pastrana for dinner reservations by Monday, July 19th at 713-782-6079. This is KPFT Houston.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Put a little music in your ear. That's this button right here. Little Jeff Krasner. We'll be back.
Oh, my God.
After all,
I'm
she's just
tired. I beg your pardon. I'm the other officer.
When you only ask their name, they look.
sacrifice my feelings.
Sacrifice my feelings.
All this cold, cold way to stay warm.
Cold, cold, cold.
If I'm 110 in the shade, I can't get relief from the love that I crave. 110 in the shade.
That sure is not the Harvey Fierstein version, is it?
No.
No, that's Leah Delaria.
Okay, push that button.
Leah.
Yes, Leah Delaria.
Yeah.
And before that was Jeff Krasner's 110 in the Shade.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect for Houston this time of year.
And Harvey sings. It's not even summer yet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you haven't lived until you've heard Harvey sing.
Oh,
God, the gravel voice from hell, yes.
Yeah. We'll play Love for Sale someday.
Yeah, yeah.
Love for Sale.
That's pretty much it. Soprano by comparison, yeah.
And to see him doing it in drag is even weirder.
Scarier.
With that voice.
Has he ever been in a movie in drag? I don't...
Oh, yes, Torch Song Trilogy.
I never saw that. No.
Yeah.
Oh, please, I'll loan it to you.
Yeah, it's a very, very good movie.
Hmm.
Was that considered semi-autobiographical?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, it is.
Hmm.
And there's elements of gay bashing, the AIDS epidemic, and all of that runs through it because it's a timeline.
Is this something that I've missed? It came out, went straight to video, something like that?
No, not at all.
Theaters.
It came out in the late 80s.
Oh, okay.
Matthew Broderick plays his lover.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Yes.
This wow. was a, it was written as a Broadway play that was then adapted into the movie, and I think
Matthew Broderick gets around
like 21 years ago.
I think.
Like 21 years ago, and so he was
Bueller.
Oh gosh, yeah, that was before Ferris Bueller.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Anyway,
hello.
Hi. We were talking earlier this afternoon about someone that we always see at Pride Fest
and at
the parade, and we didn't this year, and that's right. Sally Huffer.
I haven't seen Sally practically since she was up here as a guest.
I know. I haven't seen her either.
Mm-mm.
And I told you the story about this this past weekend at the Christmas in July show.
Yes.
When Marsha Ann Mink Gill made the comment because Craig Farrell was being one of the Debris sisters,
and he does
for
that
the
so
day,
well.
And he used his he's a hairdresser, and he used his own hair and kind of teased it up, you know, when it was all spiky and all over the place, and Marsha went up to him and said, "Oh my God, you Hufferized your hair." So we have a new word now.
Hufferize.
Hufferize.
Yes. Perhaps we should see Huffer and see what's going on with her Hufferize hair.
I know it. I know
it.
That's
hard to say.
And this week I got a CD in the mail. I bought it, actually. It's a very new, the new Kinsey Six CD. And there was a song. Every once in a while, they do parodies.
Right.
It's a beauty shop quartet. It's four men in drag singing a cappella. And they do it very well. But every once in a while, they put out a serious song or two. And on this CD, they've got two of them. And one in particular that I thought was really, really beautiful. And they did it especially to pay homage to the transgender community.
Oh.
So I wanted to play this for Sally.
All right.
Kinsey Six doing Tranny Boy.
Girls, have I told you about my sweetheart?
Yeah.
Thanks, I'd love to tell you. Oh, my sweetheart's so good to me. Pookie has all these cute little pet names for me, like Ouch and Don't. I don't know what I would do without him. Winnie, what happened to your girlfriend? I thought you were a lesbian. Well, I'm still a lesbian, and he's still my girlfriend, and now my boyfriend. In fact, he's my everything.
Oh, tranny boy, the dykes on bikes are calling. From Gwen to Glen, you've joined the other side. Your plumbing's gone, and your sweet flowers are drying. Tits too, must go, or you must find. But come ye back, all butch like Rachel Maddow, but with a beard that's lush and sideburns low. Just come to me with still intact libido. Cause gal or guy, oh tranny boy, I love you so. But can you come ask nosy folks when prying? Can you get head? Can you stand when you pee? So when you tire of base objectifying, just come and say an oy vey here with me. Yes, I'm still queer, though my gal's now my hobby. Cause how important can a Peter be? You're still the same sweet person, and you love me. And what we do in bed is just tween you and me. And I choose you instead of anyone for me.
Oh, tranny boy, I love you so.
Are we back?
No.
I have to say something.
Yeah?
Sally, I love you, and I had nothing to do with it.
No, it was all me.
It's all on him.
I just.
Well, maybe that'll bring her out of them.
Yeah.
Whatever she's in, because I mean, I know she's not in a closet.
It's a serious and funny song at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, they have little notes in here from the two of the performers.
Yeah. What did they say about it?
Irwin says, "I'm really proud to sing this song. I wish I'd written it. F to M's have to face much societal crap, of course. People sometimes think they have a right to ask queer folk explicit questions that they themselves would be shocked to be asked. So I like that we can use our humor on behalf of our F to M brethren to teach the rule that just cause you're curious doesn't mean you get to ask. We Kinseys often talk to reporters who are much more interested in whether we live in dresses and how we have sex than the content of our music or what we do on stage." And Ben says, "We do, in fact. We have limits on how we will use humor. Just because something makes people laugh doesn't mean it's something the Kinsey Six will say. It's important to be aware who the butt of the joke is, butt of any joke. Here we wanted to be clear that we're not making fun of F to M's, but at the limited thinking of the people they have to deal with. Anyway, many F to M's have reported back loving this song, so I hope we achieved it."
Good. Good.
Yeah, the face I was giving you as I was reading the song before it.
Oh, what's the song before it?
Dead.
Oh, yes. Oops.
Okay. You want to save that for another time?
Oh, we'll just
I don't know, considering the topic we had earlier today, that was one that would work, but, God.
Must be an inside joke.
Well, anyway, I know that we were going to just kind of do our promos and then come back and say goodbye, but we played more music and did the Sally thing. And do you have anything else to add for your segment this month?
No.
Okay. John, thank you for being here. Do you have anything else to add? What's going on in your life, by the way?
The kids are in Michigan, and it's just my wife and I in Houston.
Oh, okay.
Okay, almost, we don't want to know what's going on.
Almost like a second honeymoon.
I'm refinishing the door and doing home improvement projects.
I see.
Is that what they call that these days?
It's honeydew. It's honeydew week. Yes. I see.
Refinishing the door.
Okay.
Well, it could be worse.
We had
to stop refinishing the door.
We had to stop refinishing, yeah.
I'm out of a job again.
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
I was the foreman of the contracting crew for Cruz for Jimmy's house, but...
That's on hold.
It's on hold until the estate settles.
Everything's in probate.
Yeah.
Lawyers.
Yep. Lawyers on our side, their side. Lawyers for the estate. You know, it's just...
So when you two move in together, every day is going to be the Jimmy and Judy show.
Yeah.
No, he'll leave me upstairs, he and the pussy.
There's a reality show in there.
Yeah.
You could make some money off of that.
There
I'm
you
thinking.
Go. We'll start writing.
No kidding. Whoa.
Yeah, they'll call it Jimmy's couch.
No, I don't need Jimmy's couch. I have my own now.
Yeah.
But they'll, still, but call, the they'll still call the show Jimmy's Couch.
No, Chris will, but I won't.
Because it's going to be one big house. We're taking the doors off the apartments.
And it'll have four couches in it.
Yeah.
I'll have choices.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big house.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's right.
It is.
There's a joke there somewhere. I just can't figure it out at the moment.
It's late.
It's, probably... So when 3,900 square feet?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's not counting the stairway.
This
the cattle
is in
go
the
up and down.
Yeah. This
sort
is actually, 4, actually,
sort of
technically, it's right outside the Montrose.
It's straight across the freeway from the Montrose.
I'm in 77005. I know.
It breaks his heart.
It's the first time ever that I've lived outside of 77006.
Do you have to get another passport? Or
well, it took him over 30 years to bring himself to do this, but he's been working up to it now for 30 years.
So you're gentrifying another neighborhood,
yes,
basically.
Well, actually, there are two lesbians
actually,
that live across the street. Yeah,
yeah.
Down the ways a little bit, mm-hmm. So we're in good shape.
That we know, and that I mean, there's probably more.
Well, yeah, these two we know of.
Yeah,
you know, so yeah, we won't be alone.
No,
we won't be lonely.
You're never alone.
I know, because we have the pussy.
Because we're going to have that flagpole out front, in front of the door.
Long may she wave.
And we're going to be flying the rainbow flag.
Yeah.
For the neighbors.
I want to be there when Jimmy puts that flag in.
I'm going to
wait.
You're
watching. I tried to get him to paint the front door pink, and he wouldn't. Now he's talking rainbow flags.
There's
I was
going to
put one in my front window, so it didn't matter, because I got the upstairs front windows.
Yeah.
It'll be flying right next to his open sign he's going to put next to his door.
Clothing optional.
No, that's downstairs.
That will be the private glory hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Our neighbors have one of those signs out.
He does have a friend, though. I said, just tell him I'm upstairs naked. He won't come bother me. Tell him I never put on clothes unless I'm coming downstairs.
Jimmy?
And yes? He'll never bother me.
Are you sure it's not going to be a little bit like Brigadoon? You step outside of the neighborhood and suddenly poof?
No. No, in this case, you step into the neighborhood and it's poof.
Wait. I was thinking of something here. Okay.
Yes.
If you're going to have clothing optional, and you're going to have clothing optional.
Yeah.
So we now have a new wrinkle room.
Oh, he
all right.
Went there.
There went his invitation.
Yeah. Wrinkle room?
Yeah.
But I want to go there.
It's okay. Man. The cat will be fully clothed.
That's what I call a gay bar where older men hang out.
Oh.
A wrinkle room.
So you got to clue me in on things like this.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I left your education lacking.
I might use
it. Chris makes me gets to learn so about us all the time. Yeah. You should know this.
Wes, you're so quiet tonight.
He's puny.
Well,
parts of him are throbbing that aren't used to throbbing.
Yeah, exactly.
I beg your pardon.
Do I have to have details?
My back.
Oh.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
All up and down my back tonight. And
wow.
You've been walking on your backside, huh?
He needs somebody to walk on it.
Yeah.
Come on. You're used to being walked all over.
Robert and his magic fingers. Where are they?
He went home.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, I know. I got a hug there in the middle of something. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he gave me a shoulder massage during part of the show tonight.
No.
My shoulders are feeling better, but it still leaves my back.
It's a long spine to get up to your shoulders.
Ooh.
Yeah. So. I hear you.
Okay.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, it's just leftovers from earlier this evening.
Never mind.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on After Hours.
Sure.
This week, honey.
Next month, I'll tell you about my new best friend.
Oh.
Do we have, what are you doing on the fifth Saturday this month?
It's kind of open. I was thinking about the contractors coming on to talk a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And, Chris, you said something about somebody else you were going to ask.
No, he's not asking.
She's
him. I have already done it.
What?
She took them over.
I'd already asked him.
Oh, okay.
For next third Saturday.
Okay, and there's a couple other people that I kind of had.
So are Bobby and I doing our shtick next?
Yes, you
okay,
and Bobby
we are. Well,
are doing
I need to
your
know
shtick.
These things. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, you're going to get at least a half hour of old gay music that I'm going to select. And well, I'm going to select.
Oh, you're going to select.
No. I'm going to pick out a bunch of old CDs and then put them in front of you and Bobby, and you're going to select the cuts
musical puzzle
that we
CDs.
Get to play.
Okay, so you're picking. Okay, because I know at one point you told me to start going through mine, so because you said I had stuff you didn't have. But, okay.
Nope.
That's what I was
and
asking.
Some of it may be LPs.
Oh, my.
You can still pay LPs in there?
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
Oh, my.
That's right. I remember the turntable.
We've got two turntables, yes.
Yep.
That is so scary.
Yeah, because I've got, you know, like, Lesbian Concentrate album.
No 78, so.
No 78.
Okay, thank goodness. Okay, just wanted to ask. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. And that'll also be the first Saturday that I'll be in my new apartment, too.
Ooh.
So we'll celebrate that, too.
Okay. Very good. Yes.
I hope we'll celebrate that pretty soon, too. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been real. It's been different.
Thank you for staying so long.
Yeah, not a problem.
Okay.
If John has, you know, he wants to stay all night, he doesn't have to go home and refinish the door if he said he all right. Come here and ask the guy.
I will.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, John.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Jimmy.
Thanks, Judy.
Bye, Judy. Bye, John.
Do we have a piece of music to go to?
Yeah, I figure since we seem to be playing covers and takeoffs of things.
Oh, yes.
Let's just keep in that genre.
Okay.
The Boxer, Naked.
Yeah.
When I left my running scared. Laying low, seeking out the foreign quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. Asking only workmen's wages, I come looking for a job, but I get no offer. Just to come on from the whores on 8th Avenue. I do declare, there are times when I am so lonesome I take some comfort there. La 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 la.
Audaciously cool.
So cool.
I was real excited, why? I almost wet my jeans.
Why?
Cause my best friend Debbie was homecoming queen. She looked so pretty in pink chiffon.
Pink chiffon.
Riding a walk with her tiara on.
Tiara.
Holding this humongous bouquet in her hand. She looked straight out of Disneyland. Well, it was like the Cinderella ride. It was definitely an e-ticket. The crowd was cheering. Everyone was stoked. Well, you know, I think it was like the whole school was totally coked out or something. The band was playing Evergreen. When all of a sudden, somebody screamed.
Oh, my God, look out! The homecoming queen's got a gun!
Everybody run. The homecoming queen's got a gun. Everybody run. The homecoming queen has got a gun.
Oh, my God.
be smiling and waving her gun, picking off cheerleaders one by one. Oh no, Lovey's pom-poms just blew to bits. My God, Mitzi's head just did the split. My best friend is on a shooting spree. Stop it, Debbie, you're embarrassing me.
How could you do what you just did?
Are you having a really bad period?
Everybody run. The homecoming queen's got a gun. Everybody run. The homecoming queen has got a gun. Stop it, Debbie, you're making a mess. Powder burns all over your dress. Bloody bodies all over the quad. Who'd have thought she'd be packing a rod?
An hour later, you know, the cops had arrived. Oh, but by then the entire Glee Club had died. No big loss. You wouldn't believe what they brought to stop it. Tear gas, machine guns, even a chopper.
Throw down your gun, Kiara, and come out of that float.
Debbie didn't listen to what the cop said. No, she aimed and fired, and now the math teacher's dead. Oh, it's really sad. But you know, it's kind of a relief. See, we had this big test coming up next week.
Everybody run. The homecoming queen's got a gun. Everybody run. The homecoming queen has got a gun. Debbie's really having a blast. She's wasted half of the class.
The cops fired a warning shot and she dove off that float. I tried to scream duck, but it stuck in my throat. She hit the ground and did a flip. It was real acrobatic, but I was crying so hard I couldn't work my instamatic. I ran down to Debbie. I had to find out, like, what made her do it. Why'd she freak out? I saw the bullet had grazed her right about here. I knew then the end was near. And do y'all mind? So as the SWAT team and a gaggle of hall monitors escorted her from the field, I ran alongside and I said to her, Debbie, why did you do it? Why did you do it? Well, she just smiled at me and said, I did it for Lonnie. Lonnie? Debbie, who's Lonnie? There aren't even any boys in our school named Lonnie. There is Miss Wilson, the woodshop teacher. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Debbie, is that why you spent all that time making those tacky birdhouses instead of being in the Future Homemakers of America with me? It was too late for answers. And as the SWAT team roared off into the sunset, I surveyed the gruesome scene before me. The ruins of that beautiful chicken wire and crepe paper bee for victory that the pep club had worked so hard on. And then it hit me. It's still homecoming week. You can't have a homecoming game without a homecoming queen. It was then I knew what I must do. So I retrieved her tiara from where it had fallen and I placed it lovingly upon my head, willing to assume the awesome burden of homecoming queendom, eager to rule with a firm yet sensitive hand. All right, boys, sing it for me.
Everybody scream. The homecoming queen is a queen. He's a queen, he's a queen, he's a queen, he's a queen. Oh, a big old queen.
I just love that nya.
Oh, yeah.
You would, too.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to push the damn talk button.
Oh.
There.
Okay.
You know, this this is really unusual.
What?
I'm on this side.
Oh, yeah. You're always...
Always over there where he's sitting.
Where the engineer's part is. But
yeah.
He's been doing the music tonight.
Yeah.
And that last one was?
Frustrated Housewives. But I know what boys like. Because we've kind of gone
in... I do, too.
Huh?
I do, too.
We've kind of been going on this, a lot of songs of parodies.
Yes.
Or covers.
Or covers.
So before that was Flirtation's version of Homecoming Queen's Got a Gun.
I love it.
And Naked with the Boxer.
Yes. Very good. Very, very good
and
cover.
We have a video later on
Yes.
that we'll be playing. Yes, we on this radio show, we'll play videos.
Okay.
That is also falls into that genre.
Yeah.
You didn't click on the links either. He didn't click on the links, so this will be new to you.
My computer was down, remember?
Yeah. But it, I sent two links. These are an artist who's likes to do versions of some of the Lady Gaga songs.
Oh.
One of them I can't play.
No.
Which means
I saw that one.
Yeah, and yeah, I was...
That's incredibly rude.
I was thinking of wanting to perform...
And tasteless.
Well, so he loved it.
You loved it.
No, I didn't. I really didn't.
I was teasing about the fact that that would make a good song to perform, and then I found out that...
somebody's already doing it?
Alex has done it a couple of times and is doing it for that anniversary party.
Kind of. Oh, okay. So. Alex Stroud?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
No.
Wait a minute. I've seen him do that. Yes.
The song, No.
I've seen him do that.
He's performed the song, not perform the act in the song.
Right. No, he's done this. I've seen him do the song.
Oh, my.
It's a take off. It's the words are two. It's from Bad Romance.
Yeah.
So...
We'll
be playing another one.
Yes, please. And not that one with the two kids doing the ABBA thing. You got.
I wasn't doing ABBA. They were doing Pet Shop Boys.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of cute.
Cheesy,
but cute.
Did you ever check out that Alejandro video that I told you about?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Mm. We're playing the parody of it tonight.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, we've got some MBB letters.
We do.
Actually, yeah, we do. I want to start off with a small correction. I mentioned that one of these letters was from an MBB, and it's not actually, because the gentleman called us earlier in the evening.
Oh.
Jonathan.
Uh-huh.
He actually sent us a letter for Gigi, so...
Oh, we'll okay.
We need to pass that on to Gigi.
Yeah, because Gigi was supposed to be here tonight. But, you know, Gigi... is a dizzy queen, and
that's being polite.
He's
right, everybody together now. Duh.
And he spends the entire month of June at his wife's family's cabin in Colorado, making repairs and making improvements to
the
it.
The entire month of June.
Yes.
You know this is July, right?
Well,
sometimes Gigi goes there by motorcycle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that could take a while.
Okay. And you know, after and you have to recover from your ass being chapped.
Yeah.
And the wind burn up her skirt.
Too. Yeah.
Well, you know, some people like their ass being chapped. Yeah. That's a whole other story.
But you know,
that would be Gigi.
he may have gotten his Saturdays mixed up. So we'll deal with that. So anyway.
All right. So. Moving on.
Yes.
Our first one comes from Jose.
Uh-huh. Hi, Jose.
Over in Teague, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to kind of paraphrase this since we don't have lots of time here tonight.
Okay.
Starts off, dear friends.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of little smiley faces and whatnots in here. I mean, very flowing handwriting.
Oh.
I mean...
Oh, it is. Mike, yeah. That's hard to read.
Yeah, it definitely makes it difficult to read. I was having a hard time with it, even with my small headache I had earlier.
Especially.
Small well, just,
headache.
Yeah.
What do you mean small headache? He's sitting right here. Oh.
Wrong headache.
Oh, oops.
Hopefully when you all receive this, it will find each and every one of you there, your families and friends and loved ones, all doing great.
Well,
so
not so much here.
So, Let's see here. I didn't read over this one very well, so just kind of been in and out of prison a few times here.
Bad boy.
Yeah, been locked up for about 11 years of his adult life.
Man.
Yeah. The reason for his letter is to see if someone there, and he puts in parentheses underlined, please,
yeah,
would take the time to help me find out more information about GLBT issues, mm-hmm, resources, and pen pals.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else we got here. Go. He says he's from the Hill Country.
Oh, no kidding. That's pretty country.
Yeah.
So do your time and get back to that pretty country.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Have no outside help right now. Do not get much mail except for religious stuff, and could use a pen pal. But you all sound very
gay.
You all sound very busy always.
Oh, there is that.
Would you all please provide me with some addresses, physical addresses, where I can write and meet bisexual gay couples here in Texas,
mm-hmm,
and men who became women.
Mm-hmm. So he wants couple or tranny.
Exactly. So, goodness gracious. Lots of different smiley faces and whatnot in here.
Mm-hmm. Does he say much about himself?
Just in scanning, not really.
Okay.
It's his first letter, Jimmy. You can't expect him to outline himself on it for you.
Well, we can maybe get an outline on the second letter.
Yeah.
It's like those who don't kiss on a first date.
So, yeah.
Oh.
So that's...
Yeah, you expect Jose. Something else on first date, not a kiss. Yeah.
He doesn't doodle on a first date, apparently.
Oh. Let's see here. Here's a repeat for us. Good old Daryl.
Oh, hey, Daryl.
So,
I saw that picture. That's hot.
Yeah, here. I'll let you drool over Daryl's picture while we talk about him here.
Thank you.
Standard greeting, hello, Jimmy, Wes, and Chris. He always switches up the order of us.
Well, that's so he's not playing favorites.
Yeah, but it always seems Jimmy's first.
Oh. Oh, sorry.
Really hope all of you are doing fine and that this past week has been a good one for all of you, as we already talked about at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a long letter, so I'm going to try to skip through. Be sure to tell Judy I said hi and that I've been waiting and looking forward to coming back, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, we want you to come to the station when you get out. And we want you to come out for good. It's... Behind bars is not a fun place to live. And,
that's a real drag on the social life.
It is. It is. It, in some ways, I know some guys get used to it because you don't have to think. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to provide for yourself.
Yeah.
But that's not a way to live.
It's a scary world out there they have to do for themselves. And,
yeah. And do it legitimately, uh-huh, which they probably haven't ever done in their lives.
Been there long enough, it's, how do you function in that world?
It's very tough.
Doesn't want you to.
We've had quite a few guys, when they got out, they came here, and mm-hmm, some of them went back to their old ways, and... Mm-hmm. A couple of them made really real good, and they're still out, and they're productive parts of society.
All right. Well, not to cut y'all short, but I've got two long letters here.
Sorry.
Yeah. He wants to thank us for reading parts of his letter,
mm-hmm,
during our last show, because it really does mean a lot to him that we can acknowledge and the best of the listeners of the After Hour show know how much I think about you all and how much you, your show means to him. He has a lot of appreciation for all of us, as well as Judy, for answering his questions in his last
previous
letters.
And I know I promised to write him, didn't I?
I think you did.
Yes, I did.
First of all, I would like to send you this only picture of myself that I mentioned in my last letter.
And I'll send it back.
And I ask that you... And I had asked that you would get a couple copies made and set one up of myself at the station so that we can see him when we start the show.
Okay.
And since he can't be there in person, he says he's sorry it's not a real good picture, but it's the only one he has. And he would also appreciate a couple of copies made and sending it back to him.
Okay.
He asked, do I look anything like you pictured? He might.
I don't know. You've got too many clothes on.
That's a classic Jimmy answer right there.
Sorry.
Thank you for your sincere answers to my questions about the actual size and width of his member.
Yes.
I am not shy. If you will still have the outline of my member, go ahead and let whoever you want to show it to next weekend and the following week.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
The only problem is Jimmy licked the ink off the page.
Yeah, I think so.
You have to go through me first. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he had a paper cut. It was hell to try and put a bandage on that paper cut on his tongue.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Since we don't have a whole lot of time here, I'm just trying to
find
the meat. Trying to find the meat of the letter.
Oh, meat. Me too, every week.
We've got a little more time. I didn't find that many stories to
go. Okay.
Oh, okay. So. Well, we got PSAs in a couple minutes. He's wanting to know our birthdays again.
Oh, January 13th.
And that's for Jimmy. Chris...
I wasn't born, I was spawned.
And what day did that happen?
And what day did you come out of the primordial ooze?
How dare you talk about my mother's vagina like that? My mother's vagina is sacred. And you're calling a primordial ooze?
That's what she called it.
January 9th. Same day as Richard Nixon.
Ooh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too.
Well, yeah, it was the day after Elvis's. My mom's friends all kept going, okay, push faster, push harder. Born on King's birthday, not Tricky Dickie's. Come on, push.
And then my birthday is June 3rd. Mm-hmm. And he asked about Judy's. I don't know Judy's.
Judy's is March 26th. No, March 13th. I'm sorry. March
13th.
You're 43. No. I'm January 13th. She's March 13th, and Bruce is April 13th. Weird, huh?
Oh, just based off of that? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
let's see here.
And not that it matters. Mine's May 19th.
Yeah. Merlin is May 19th.
See, I don't get the same pattern as you do with the 13.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
He pretty much closes the letter out after some more writings and stuff, basically saying, take care of ourselves. He anxiously awaits till the next after-hour show to come on this coming weekend. Hope you all will like the poem. And let me go ahead and read his poem real quick.
Okay.
It's titled Mornings. In the quiet before the dawn, when all the winds are still, this is the time when just for a while all hurts can heal. A time for lovers to share their love and release their passion. A time to feel God's loving compassion. It's the time I like the most, a time of gentle peace. When all the hates, sometimes even hate, when all the haste, sometimes even hate, seem to cease. Mornings are special times for renewal, just to sit on a lake shore, a time when nature comes to life just once more. In the morning, before the first rays of the sun pierce the sky, or before the first dove spreads its wings to fly, you can see you can almost see and even feel God's hand shape the day. And if you listen real close, you can even hear the angels at play. God gave us mornings to renew the day. If you've ever sat to watch a sunrise, then you too must know the awe of the start of another day which God has made and the love he sends and says will never fade.
Wow.
He said, he puts a little note on here, Jimmy, Chris, and Wes, I especially want to thank you and your kindness and willingness to read my poetry each time I send it to the After Hours show.
That's really good.
I'm so grateful to be able to write poems for you all to share and read to your listeners on the show, and I greatly appreciate all you all allowing me to share my poetry on our show and allowing him to be able to contribute something to his favorite show. I feel I'm giving this privilege by you all by the grace of God, and I feel special and so humbled to all of us.
Man.
I just want to say a special from my heart, thank you so, so much. And again, thank you for acknowledging me out there each week during our show.
You write stuff like that, then you can be guaranteed we're gonna
read it
over the air. That was beautiful.
Yep. Let's put this back in here so don't
get lost.
And then we got one more.
Well, let's do that after we do the PSAs and all the other stuff.
Okay.
Stop the hour. It's time for our... And do our business. We'll be right back.
Listen to this disc jockey's introduction to Mama Bonnie's Lazy Gandhi.
The Pacifica Foundation, the parent organization of KPFT, will host its national board meeting in Berkeley, California, starting Friday, July 16th. Events begin Friday night and conclude on Sunday, July 18th. You can view the latest information on the meeting at pacifica.org. This includes information about audio streaming of this meeting. There will be public sessions for these national board gatherings. A copy of this upcoming meeting's agenda is posted at pacifica.org. Again, the Pacifica National Board meets in Berkeley, California, starting Friday, July 16th and ending Sunday, July 18th. You are encouraged to listen in, read more, and become actively involved in this important community radio institution. Thanks for listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio KPFT Houston. On Saturday, July 24th, the 40th anniversary of the assassination of Carl Bernard Hampton will be commemorated at historic Emancipation Park, 3018 Dowling Street, Houston, Texas. The commemoration will include speakers, entertainment, food, and a community service. The commemoration is free and open to the public. National guests include Professor Kathleen Cleaver, Senior Lecturer and Research Fellow, Emory University School of Law, former member Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and the first female member Black Panther Party Central Committee, Emory Douglas, former Minister of Culture Black Panther Party, and others. Carl Hampton, a dynamic young Black Panther leader and chairman of Houston's People's Party, too, was assassinated by the Houston Police Department on July 26, 1970. For a complete list of events, including the upcoming Angola 3 play July 23rd at Shape Center, a Black Panther Party art exhibit July 22nd at Project Row Houses, and more, visit carllives.com. This is KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Don't forget you can find us on Facebook, somehow, somewhere in there.
Ooh.
Facebook.com/afterhours.
It's so much easier finding us.
Is it two words or one word put together?
Two words.
Okay.
Yeah, after is our first name, hours is our last
name. Yeah, but sometimes, you know. You put things together, I don't know. Anyway, we're in the middle of our MBB letters, and we have one more to go.
We sure do. And here, I'll let you look at these pictures.
Okay.
He sent quite a few of these. So. And to our MBBs out there that do send us pictures, I mean, we will return these to you. We know that they're dear to you and everything, so don't worry. We'll get them back to you.
And we're working on that request that we seem to be getting a lot of pictures of us, so I think we...
Yeah. Now, our final letter of the evening, because of a request from this particular MBB, we're going to go ahead and refer to him by his code name that he's asked us to give, and that's called Deep Cover.
Mm-hmm.
He starts off his letter saying, Dear After Hours crew, Jimmy, you old hag.
I am that.
Judy, Chris, Wes, and the whole gang. Hey, y'all, how's it hanging? Kind of down the middle tonight.
I'm off to the right.
So, he hopes that his I'm not sure.
His what?
I can't tell what this word is, but he hopes that his letter reaches us in good health and high spirits. He's been listening to our show for a few months now, when he can catch it, and he's decided to write and say thanks. You guys and gals are great and do a most wonderful job of informing and representing. He also laughs his boxers off every night.
I was there.
And from the pictures that I've seen here, I wouldn't mind seeing
them. Yes.
Just got done listening to the show, and this is the first time I made it through the whole thing, and I'm glad that I did. I heard about the pen pal thing, and I'd like to have a pen pal if y'all can find me one.
Oh, boy, so, that's tough.
So, and on that note, for anybody that wants to, we'll be giving out information in just a few minutes, so if you want to write to specific guys, or if you want to send the letters to us. He says, I guess you all can imagine how boring and lonesome prison can be. Getting someone that you can write to and get mail from is always a blessing.
We hear that from everyone who gets out, that the mail is the most important thing.
Yeah. He says, currently he's in super administration segregation, high security right now, and they keep him locked down for 23 hours a day.
Yeah.
Food and shower in the cells. We get 1 hour a day in the rec and in the single cages.
He can still get mail, though, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
He says he's gay but not out.
Mm-hmm.
He wishes he could be. This time and place is just not right for him.
No.
I've known him. He's known he was bi when he was 13 and had a first time with another boy. But he still fooled around with girls, and so no one found out he was into guys.
No, right. You wouldn't suspect.
Yeah.
It's perfect cover.
Yeah. He joined a street gang, got into lots of trouble selling drugs.
Oh, no.
Pulling home invasions.
Ouch.
And finally sent to prison at the age of 15.
Wow.
Wow. That just FCC'd me up.
Yep.
More, and I got into lots more trouble. I'm not sure what these words are here.
Okay.
Oh, stabbed and stabbed some dudes.
Ooh.
Was in my first 100-man all-out prison riot when most kids were going to prom.
Yeah.
He was a wild one and almost killed a prison guard when he was 17.
God.
And went to court on that and almost added 10 more years.
Ooh.
He got lucky and only got 7 extra.
Oh, that's bad enough.
So, just kind of, let's see.
Has he mellowed out, I hope?
It's looking like it.
Yeah.
So much drama was going on in my life. My twin brother got locked up on a home invasion case and got out, and him and his girl had a beautiful baby girl right around the time he got
locked up.
Something for manslaughter and got 10 years.
Oh, no.
He's out of prison now, and thanks God he's doing good. And thank God he's doing good and has a second child now in his own home. So his twin has cleaned up his life.
That's good. That's good. He's taken responsibility for his life.
Says his dad passed away, then his grandfather passed away a year or so later. And he was still getting in trouble, but then the year my granddad died, I met a man that changed my life.
Oh.
That was back in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
He had just turned 19. Let's see. That same... A month later, his grandfather died. That same month, out of the blue, a 16-year-old gay kid from England wrote to him, and they soon became fast friends, and now, over the years, our band of friendship grew so strong, it's completely changed his life, and now he sees and how he sees his life.
Mm-hmm.
Says he's 26, and I realize that I'm gay, and I have, and I love it. This gentleman has really opened his eyes to how beautiful life is and how he needed to grow up and break the vicious circle he was living in. So
yeah,
he says he sent some pictures.
Yeah, they're very nice.
Oh, here it is. Here's a good thing. The only reason he's still in the closet is because he's a kind of up there in the criminal organization that he's a part of in the jail system.
Oh God.
He's slowly but surely getting the okay to retire from, which is what he wants. He wants it for himself because it's held him back being a, but most of all, in doing it, he can be with this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
It's a life he wants for himself. So, anyway, he sent some pics. Steven. The pics of himself, Steven, and of his twin brother.
Mm-hmm.
One of his two lovely kids.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
He says you can keep all of these and do as you want with them.
Mm-hmm.
And please do pass my info on for anyone so that they can be pen pals. He really loves to focus on building friendships outside of these walls and keeping his mind free. He's also a poet and story writer.
Really?
Enclosed a couple of his poems, which I'll go over those here in a second.
Okay.
And a couple of stories. They're quite long, so I won't be able to read those tonight.
Okay. Let's take some time out. Either next week or the week after the fifth Saturday, we'll have lots
of
time.
He says, read them on air if you ever need to fill time.
Well, that's not why we would need them. No. Yeah. Read them just to fill time. We will read them because they're good.
Yeah.
I love the fact that right the moment you said about you'll have lots of time, he says,
fill
time.
Yeah. Yeah. He says he's enclosed seven pictures on print out and a sheet with two pics printed on it.
Mm-hmm.
Also enclosed as our few.
Yeah, and we got them all. I want to let you know that.
May peace, and we'll go ahead and close this letter out saying, may peace be with you always. And it puts a postscript on here.
Yes.
That he would also love a signed photo of us all. If it's not too much trouble, some of the Pride Parade pics that we planned on sending to Daryl,
mm-hmm.
if he can get the same also.
Okay.
We thank Daryl and Deep Cover for their letters here. Let me go ahead and read Deep Cover's two poems that we got here because they are a little bit short.
Okay.
The first one is called This Door. He wrote it in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
This melancholy cell door that mocks and confines me. Be damned, rusted, painted iron door that binds me. Of my used and weary soul is what this door reminds me. This door that reaches from ceiling to the floor and makes noises louder than a lion's roar. This door that has seen many years and will see many more. This lonesome door that keeps me in and that keeps you out and that has bared witness to hundreds of madmen's screams and shouts. This door is incurably insane, no doubt, no doubt. If this door could talk, it would tell of secrets and lies, and mayhap it would tell of criminals, plots to our the skies, but most likely it would keep its confidence and only sigh.
Mm.
Here's another one on here.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Here's a second, a real short one here.
Okay.
And then I got one more that he's got.
Mm-hmm.
This one's called Fly in a Spider Web, a.k.a. The Sicko. He leans his face in closer for a wet, toothy kiss. She struggles, turns, and twists, but she cannot deny his bliss. His face pulls away a little as he wraps fingers of web around her throat tight. Her lovely blue-green reflective eyes expose her fright. She grows mindless and weak, and it becomes fruitless to continue the fight. He leans a little closer to whisper sweet nothings into her face, and can't read that word. But those sweet nothings, I'm afraid she does not hear. Her body finally goes cold and slack. The spider and his snack.
You couldn't read it, or you couldn't say it on the air?
Just couldn't read it. I couldn't figure out what it was.
Okay.
Oh, dang. He wrote quite a few here.
Okay.
I didn't see these on the back. I like this one that he wrote here that I already saw called Mama. Dear Mama, I know you weren't happy here. Your life was hard and never too fair. But don't worry if no one else does. I'll shed a tear. And don't fear the last breath. God's love is what lies in your chest. And now that you're on your way, what more can they say? Better nights and brighter days. God's kingdom is like the sun's blaze. It's like a lifetime full of Sundays, with your arms raised and your heart full of praise. As a kid, most times we learn, and sometimes you were mean. But I understand that things weren't always as they seemed, because every mother is a queen trying to build a dream for their little kings. And it's hard to build dreams out of bread and beans. But it's always seemed at Christmas time you made the ends meet the means. And I don't blame you for how my life seems like a bad dream. I just pray that in the end, you're with the Lord, your King.
Wow.
So.
Sounds like his mother died.
Probably. He's got two other ones here.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we have a little bit more time. Yeah, okay. I'll go ahead and read these.
Okay.
We'll start with this one he wrote in 2009 called Your Love Poem. Just when I thought I was lost to this dark path, you came into my life and taught me to laugh and released me from the shackles of my past. An angel came from heaven to this earth. With your tears you claimed my soul of, oh, cleaned my soul of its dirt, and your love showed me my heart's worth. I came out from where the wild things grow, so many sins weighing a ton, bringing my head low. But your hope gives me strength to let it all go, and now resting in this garden of Steve, you're absent yet I don't feel alone. In sweet memories and in my heart, you forever roam, my angel, my life. This is your love poem.
That's sweet.
And then his final one here, the Queen. Old wise eyes wrote about the moon and skies, with the smell of age in the poetry she writes. Glanced in old black and whites, a handsome woman with a quick smile, and the laughing eyes of a playful child. Dancing with pen and paper, commanding the words to do her favor.
Okay. I didn't get that one.
Eh. Just a poem about a poet.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's like poetry. You're not supposed to always get it.
Yeah.
I don't always get poetry.
There's a lot.
But I love it.
Yeah.
He says, these are poems for every year since he started writing.
Oh.
He says he'll send us more.
Okay.
The Queen is about his poet great-grandmother.
Oh, no kidding.
So that explains that one.
Okay.
And on Mama, he said, he's got a little note here. I think this was really my first time ever really trying to write a poem. He wrote it the day he found out about his mom had passed away in 2007.
Ooh. And he wrote that in 2009?
He wrote the Mama poem in 2007.
Oh, okay.
The others, he's dated them.
Okay.
2008, 2007, 2008, 2009, and 2010. So, and like I said, he's got a couple of stories here. One called Death Row, and the other one called Running.
Okay, let's schedule them for the fifth Saturday this month.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
So,
we go. That was great.
Yep. So we got a lot of guys looking for pen pals and stuff like
that. I know.
As always. We can give, we can give Daryl's address out.
Yes, we can.
You can write to Daryl. His name is Daryl Bennett, number 119-5962, Stringfellow Unit, 1200 FM 655, Rocheron, Texas, 77583. Let's see. Jose didn't mention.
Okay. Well, you know, people can call here.
Yeah. I was going to get into that, too. You can, if you don't feel comfortable writing directly to any of the MBBs, you can always send your letter to us here at After Hours. That's KPF, After Hours care of KPFT.
419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, 77006. 419 Lovett, L-O-V-E-T-T, Boulevard, Houston, 77006, and we'll put the letter in another envelope and send it to the guys.
Yeah, or you can, if you want, you can also send it to our email address, afterhours,
yeah,
at kpft.org.
And we'll print
and
it
we'll
out.
We'll go ahead and print that out and send that along, too.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Okay.
So, it was good hearing from our MBBs. Until next time with them.
I love my MBBs.
Yeah. Some good guys there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris, do we have anything special in the roundtable tonight?
Yes, I want to start off with this. To start off with a word from our sponsor.
Oh?
Oh, really now?
In a sense, let's see if I get this to work right.
Okay.
Come on.
Right now, traditional marriage is under attack. An epidemic is sweeping our nation, and you have the power to help.
Please, help protect marriage by voting yes on the Marriage Protection Act.
The 2010 California Marriage Protection Act will make it illegal to get divorced in the state of California.
You can just throw away? You have to sleep with that snotty Kleenex for the rest of your life.
A woman shouldn't feel entitled to own property or have control over her financial affairs.
When a man commits to marriage, he's committing to taking care of me forever.
Children of single-parent homes are repulsive and unlovable.
My grandma used to say,
marry in haste, repent in leisure.
And that means don't divorce. She also said,
you made your bed, now go lie in it.
That means make your bed.
Sure, Jesus still loves you if you get divorced. Just not as much as before.
Hell is eternal, just like your marriage is supposed to be.
John and Kate plus 8 divided by 2 equals mortal sin.
In the olden days, divorces were celebrated by stoning. I mean punished.
You said till death do us part. You're not dead yet. You can't have spousal abuse without a spouse.
Divorce is unnatural. Like polyester, glasses, and Twinkies.
Socialist countries like Canada condone divorce. What did we even fight the communists in World War II for?
If outlawing divorce was good enough for the Babylonians, then it's good enough for California.
If we allow anyone to get divorced, before you know it, people will be divorcing their dogs. Vote yes, because marriage isn't a right, it's a responsibility.
Vote yes on the 2010 California Marriage Protection Act, rescuemarriage.org.
Well, that was lovely.
That was
different. They are 68,000 signatures away from that being on the California ballot.
You are kidding me.
It has just recently been certified by the Secretary of State in California that that ballot initiative can go forward.
Wow.
What? And basically, the premise is this. If you're going to say that gay marriage is a hindrance to straight marriage, well then, if you want to protect the sanctity of marriage, outlaw divorce. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but I see a lot of people, you know, serving life sentences on prisons for killing their spouses.
But yeah. They're making
build bigger prisons.
They're making the point of the hypocrisy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I think that if we're going to have, if they're going to, if everybody's going to sit there and say that we can't get married,
mm-hmm.
then I think it should, and they're going to have the Defense of Marriage Act, well, then there should be that inclusion in that also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
it should definitely, if we can't get married, then you can't get divorced.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, in a way, they started working on that a little bit back in Arkansas when Mike Huckabee was governor.
Mm-hmm.
He tried putting forward a proposal that would require that if you wanted to get a divorce, you had to take a lot more steps than just walking into court and saying, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
You know, that he tried making a marriage and a covenant marriage in his state when he was there. So,
well, you know, back in the 40s and 50s, when divorce wasn't popular, it also wasn't granted a lot either. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had to prove infidelity and all this kind of stuff. You just couldn't walk in and say, hey, I don't want to be married anymore.
Yeah.
That didn't fly.
You know, there's a listening to that thing about it reminds me of somebody gave me the scandalous gospel of Jesus, that Peter Gomes, and he says in that book, it's amazing to him that, you know, conservatives spend so much time going after the gay marriage thing as a threat to heterosexual, and yet they won't outlaw divorce,
no,
which is much more of a threat to heterosexual marriage.
It is.
That's priceless.
I love that line in there about children of single parents. That was brilliant.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Actually, my favorite one was, because when you watch the video on YouTube, and the woman who goes, you said till death do us part, and you're not dead yet.
All right.
Actually, the good part about it is watching Jimmy's expression of when he started hearing it, going, why is Chris playing this? And then, you know, once again, this is in the theme of our parodies that we've been playing a lot of here.
Oh, God.
Oh, hold on. I have to say this because someone's listening into the show, so he'll comment on this. Hello, Patrick. We have a listener in from Florida listening to something.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
Is this one of your stalkers?
yes. Settle down. It's only a magazine cover.
Well, and if you're going to do that, I might as well throw out that we have a listener from Austin listening in. Hi, Keith. So.
Hi, what?
Keith.
Oh, Keith.
Sounded like he said hikey.
Sounded like you said hikey.
I was going to say,
I thought maybe it was Japanese or something. I don't know.
Excuse me, I'm worn out tonight.
I see. You were worn out before tonight, but that's... Today you're just not feeling well.
Merlin, love you too.
Love you too.
It's an interesting time when you have a gay youth magazine having stories written about it on CNET.com and the BBC.
This is pretty big news.
And this has made a lot of interesting news. The magazine's XY.
Of course it is.
You may have not been around for a while. Those older folks may remember it.
Wow. Well, I haven't seen a copy of that in forever.
Yeah, well, they went under a while ago. Actually, not as long ago as I thought. The Federal Trade Commission is expressing concern about the subscriber list for XY magazine, which targeted gay and questioning youth between the age of 13 and 17, and has now gone bankrupt, CNET reports. XY, which billed itself as a young gay men's magazine and could be found at XY.com, ceased publishing in 2007. Its founder filed for bankruptcy protection earlier this year, which could put the names, addresses, email addresses, unpublished personal stories, and other information about gay minors into the creditors' hands. The FTC recently expressed its concerns, saying in a letter to creditors and attorneys involved in the case that any sale, transfer, or use of XY's personal information raises serious privacy issues and could violate federal law. XY's creditors have hired a lawyer to obtain the personal information held by the magazine and website, but because XY.com's privacy policy said that we will never give your info to anybody, any personal data should be destroyed, wrote David Vidlock, head of the FTC's Bureau of Consumer Protection, in a letter this month. The BBC added, XY's founding editor, Peter Ian Cummings, filed for bankruptcy in February 2010. He listed his personal assets at $1,500, net income of zero, and one other asset, the customer list, personal data, and editorial and back issues of XY Magazine and XY.com. Shoshana Schiff, a partner with Trenck Law Firm representing the creditors, told the U.S. website, any property listed on the debtor's bankruptcy petition is the property of the bankruptcy estate, and my client intends to administer those assets for the benefit of the creditors. So, if you had a membership to XY, be careful.
Mm. So, what are these? What exactly do these creditors plan to do with this information?
It's not so much what they plan to do as what they could do.
What they could do, okay.
Well, you know, if there was a way that you were getting the subscription and your family didn't know,
yes, now they will.
You could be outed. You know, imagine. You know, say they take that list and sell it off to the Advocate or right. Instinct or some other gay rag. And let's say now these years have gone past and you're in college.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you know, there's a letter addressed to you from Out Magazine.
Right.
That comes to your parents' address.
Yeah.
Because you were able to get the mail before they got home.
Then that means that fake girlfriend that you asked for on Craigslist is no longer, it's null and void.
Yeah,
I was, you know, I loved that magazine because, I mean, if only out of a sense of I would have loved for something for like that to have existed when I was a teenager.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of stuff.
I mean, there was poetry in there that you know, and there were stories of attempted suicides because of the gay thing in the family. I mean, for all those glossy pictures in there was a lot of good stuff in there, and a lot of feelings and stuff. And my name came up in it once. Yes, there's an anonymous section. There's a thing where they do like where they used to do a. Somebody would either anonymously or by name talk about their city.
Yeah.
And some young man who I used to know said that he talked about crossroads and stuff like that. And he mentioned this guy named Merlin who hangs out at one of the coffee shops. And it was just...
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what XY is, basically... I think you have to think of it as a teenage Cosmo.
Yeah.
A gay teen Cosmo yeah. with a couple of pages of Abercrombie and Fitch catalog stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of photography of young, of teenage models in, well, since he took some of the pictures, I can say Bruce Weber's type posing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the stuff you have in the Abercrombie and Fitch. A lot of, you know, they were selling clothing in some of these things of telling where you can get these fancy stuff. But there was a lot of that Abercrombie and Fitch
feeling to the
homoeroticism. You know, the guys in the locker room all, ooh, look at that, and there's a guy walking past in a jockstrap. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
occasional little bare butt.
Yeah, and mixed in with all of that, which, you know, is whatever, and I'm sure appealed to a lot of people, you know, there was also the other side of that, where people actually got to share their feelings about who they were and stuff, which was really kind of cool. And, you know, like I've said before about other things, maybe if something like that had existed for a lot of teenagers when I was a teenager, there'd be a whole lot more living teenagers who are openly gay today, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Who, you know.
Speaking of gay youth, once again, this kid just won't go away.
Uh-oh. Oh, God.
But it's good. Georgia teen Derek Martin has partnered with the Trevor Project and other groups to create Project Life Vest, an organization meant to assist LGBT youth facing discrimination after they come out. If you recall, Martin was kicked out of his home in March after attending his high school prom with his boyfriend. He says on here, my situation and the attention it has drawn has provided me a unique perspective and opportunity that I feel I cannot pass up. Young people who, like myself, who have been disadvantaged because of discrimination, hate, or ignorance, need somewhere to turn for help. GLAAD was my life vest, and I plan to be a life vest to as many others as I can. I only want those who face obstacles like mine to know that they are not alone. For everyone has the right to love, regardless of sexual orientation. Project Life Vest's mission is simple: to be a helping hand, a life vest, to as many LGBT teens and adults as possible. We will carry out this mission through the establishment of safe places in as many cities as possible, through a call center with a qualified team of counselors who can give advice where needed, through a screening a network of families who can, when need arises, host rejected teens while they finish schooling or find a new home.
Wow.
There you go, boy.
Yeah.
And he's continuing his advocacy when he's going off to college, and I forget what courses he's studying, but it's going to be in advocacy. And the law, I believe, is what it is. And fortunately, he had the scholarships already set up. So the story about him is he came out, and his school didn't have too much of a problem with it. But because of all the attention, his father, who was a former teacher of the year, sure as hell ain't up for father of the year, decided to throw him out.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear.
I think it's really great that he was able to turn this into something positive.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of teens who get thrown out of their parents' house don't end up quite as lucky, unfortunately.
Not by a long shot.
Let's go to Europe.
Europe?
Please.
Oh, so that's what you do with that Venezuela, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you do with the Venezuela when you're in Warsaw.
Oh, I see.
Apparently, they have a big event in Europe called EuroPride, and they go to different cities each year. Well, this is the first time they've taken this out of Western Europe and took it over to Eastern Europe.
Yeah, it's kind of like a miniature gay games almost type thing.
Well, they went... for the first time, organized shows at Warsaw, Poland.
Well, I guess since it got that rid of that pesky anti-gay president a few months ago.
Yeah, but his brother's still there.
Ah, well.
But his brother did lose and is not going to be the president.
That's good.
Poor baby.
As you know, a very Catholic Poland is not known for its tolerance or accepting of attitudes towards the LGBT community. According to Agence France-Presse, opinion surveys show that 80% of Poles oppose gay marriage, and 93% believe that gay and lesbian couples should not have the rights to adopt children.
I don't believe that.
Well, it's a poll.
A poll?
Yeah, it's a poll.
In Poland.
Yeah, we're not talking about the kind you see in the...
Poland. Oh, Poland.
Yeah, it's not the kind you see in the Euroboy magazine either.
No.
You know, John Paul II, Lech Walesa, those people.
Yeah.
My ancestors.
Yeah. His ancestors.
Palpatine.
No, he's German. He invaded Poland. Oh.
I guess Poland has probably has a very good relationship with Uganda.
They don't murder them there.
No. Uganda eats their people differently. The parade part of EuroPrides gave
Ugandans aren't kosher.
Oy.
You just gotta serve them with garlic. That's what makes a kosher pickle kosher. It adds garlic in it. That's all it is.
Moving on.
The parade, part of the EuroPride Gay Rights Festival, is meant to give a boost to the fledgling gay rights movement in Poland. Gay rights were strongly repressed during the communist era, and gays and lesbians have struggled since communism fell 20 years ago.
You bet they have there.
So, they say how many there. The event drew about 8,000 people.
Wow.
Which isn't bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, for that country it is.
There's another part of it on an article on the Joe My God blog where a couple of his friends were attending it.
Mm-hmm.
And they reported they were attacked at one point with rocks and eggs.
Oh.
But they kind of took that as a badge of honor, and so when he went to the bear dance event later on in that evening, he bought a hat to cover the wound on his head, and he wore the egg and bloodstained shirt. Good for him.
You go, bro.
Good for him.
Yay.
That's a step forward.
Yeah.
have to do another World Cup story.
Oh, oh boy.
Okay.
Just when we thought the World Cup was dead. Okay.
No, because they started off with yet another World Cup immediately, the under 20 women's.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I saw nothing there I was interested
in.
No, I didn't think
no,
so.
No, I didn't think so.
Sorry, I worked the seafood shift this morning. I'm done with fish for the day.
Oh.
Oh.
German
had to take it there.
Yeah. German soccer agent.
Well, you don't need a little octopus?
No, I think he's done predicting the winners. Oh.
Moving on.
Actually, the Madrid Aquarium or the Madrid Zoo is trying to buy him.
I saw a headline.
Since he... we're talking about Paul the Octopus, who predicted, mm-hmm. they had him predicting the German soccer games.
It sounds like he needs an agent.
Even though he did select against Germany and was correct in that choice, he's not going to be made into calamari. They've retired him. And since he predicted Spain winning, Spain would like to have him.
I'll bet.
So instead of calamari, I guess he becomes paella.
There he is. That's it.
German football. I keep saying football. I have to make sure.
Soccer.
Soccer for
we
you
got
people.
It. Yes.
German soccer agent Michael Becker, agent to top footballer Michael Ballack, is making sports headlines across Germany after an interview was published in which he attributed the elegant style of the World Cup German soccer team to the fact that, quote, a bunch, unquote, of its players are gay.
Really?
In an essay entitled New German Men, Alexander Aussong recounts an interview he had with Becker prior to the World Cup in which the agent allegedly told him which of the players of the team were gay. He later said that a former national player was ready to reveal the bunch of gays in the German team, according to Aussong.
Really?
Asked about the sexuality of one of the newest players, Becker, who is a lawyer by profession, referred to him as being half gay.
Half gay? Wouldn't that be bisexual?
Depends on what you're buying him.
Yeah. Well, sometimes sometimes the defender goes up a little further and can score the goal. He can play both ends of the field.
Yeah, you go.
See, Ozong went on to say that Becker put the new Eidrich lighter and elegant style of play that has become a trademark of trainer Yoko
Ono. What?
Yeah. I hope not.
Holcomb lows players down to their homosexuality, in contrast to the typical more aggressive and offensive German style of past years, but suggests that they played too delicately to assure themselves a place in the final.
Well, they did better than the French team. At least the French, they didn't fall apart before the next game. And
according to Der Spiegel, when Becker made his remarks about the bunch of gays, he expected the ears of fellow journalists present to prick up. But they only nodded placidly.
There's an ostrich at the back door.
Or is that flaccidly? All sports journalists seemed to already know the alleged homosexual conspiracies involving Lowe's team, but the rumors accompanied our team to South Africa and evidently belonged to the team. So apparently the Germans there are still light in the loafers. Oh. Some things don't change.
If they wanted a more butch thing, they should have gotten the girls.
Mm. Yeah, especially in Germany.
Hello.
So, is this from the bestiality story?
German women's basketball team.
I don't have any bestiality stories, unfortunately, this week. I got a couple of crime blotter ones.
Ooh.
Oh, this... crime blotter? Let's do this.
Let me play this other little song. I know. I'll play the song as part of our hypocrisy.
Yes.
Our hypocrisy. This is one of the songs we talked about. It's a parody song. It's by Sherry Vine.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully this is going to work well. It looks like
I've heard that name.
She does quite a few parodies. She's the one who did the song that we can't
play. Is she a drag queen?
I believe so.
Okay. Yes.
And this is a parody of Alejandro.
Okay.
By Lady Gaga. And this is dedicated to several well-known Republicans, and when their pictures pop up on the screen, I'll say out their names real quick so you can follow along with the gag here. Once again, these are YouTube videos, so hopefully everything will move smoothly. Sherry Vine, you're a homo.
I know that you are scared, and I know that you like to hide in your secret world, but I just can't let you get away with it anymore. You're a homo.
She's looking through a glory hole.
Like your sex in the toilet. So no one can.
Governor Chris of Florida. Congressman Breyer of California. Senator Larry Craig of Idaho. And Congressman Schock of Illinois. That was Miss Sherry Vine on YouTube.
I really hope that Lady Gaga has seen that. Because well, she'd probably be laughing her
ass off. Yeah, I think she would. She'd appreciate it.
She would be laughing her butt off.
And her fake butt?
Like I said, it's funny.
No, that's her fake penis.
Because there's another one on there that, you know, so we can't play because...
Oops.
Their takeoff of Bad Romance, because it's got a dirty word in there. If I cut it out, then
it loses,
the song.
It,
loses it, huh?
Ooh.
I something in my pants.
Wow.
Brown hanky, line one. Brown hanky, line
oh,
two.
God. Oh,
God. Let's just say...
I've seen that one,
yeah,
actually.
Let's just say it's Lady Kaka. No, like I said, I want to point out that was a cutesy little song on that. The one thing is, one of the people they had in there, the representative from Illinois, Schock, yeah. He's the one that, you know, they keep trying to hint that he's gay. He's like 29, nice looking. He likes to have his picture taken with his shirt off. You know, all the unmarried stuff. And then he keeps saying, I'm not gay, I'm not gay. And then they took a picture of him wearing white,
White pants, a big, no, dark pants, a white belt, a teal, or actually turquoise colored shirt with a kerchief. And he thought the belt made him look gay, so he went and burned it.
The belt should have burned the whole outfit.
Yeah.
The belt made him look gay.
He sounds like half the same kids I see at Numbers on Fridays.
Yeah, actually, the way he looked in that picture, the way he looked in the picture there of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised the thing didn't just burn on itself.
Right?
Oh, shoot, I forgot to.
He's a homo.
But he's one of them queerosexuals.
He's one of those homos.
Okay. To wrap up here, we've got a couple of our prison stories. Or police blotter.
Police blotter, what do you got?
This just in.
From Canada.
Eh? Oh, Canada.
The Central Alberta College instructor who had gay encounter with a student in a Calgary hotel room didn't check to see if the man was sleeping. Maurice Glenn Smith admitted Tuesday he never asked the 23-year-old student if he was awake before performing a sex act on him. Oops. Smith faces a single charge of sexual assault. I believed he was awake, Smith told the Calgary Provincial Court trial. Crown Prosecutor Rajbir Dillon suggested the student, who was sharing a room with Smith on a 2004 meat science field trip.
Oh, wow, that's it.
Meat science?
Way too easy.
Boy, this stuff just writes itself.
Could have been dreaming when he showed signs of consenting. Smith, 48, said he believed the student was consenting because he widened his legs and became aroused as the accused caressed his inner thigh. You took no positive steps to determine if he was awake, Dillon said. I didn't ask him if he was awake, Smith admitted during cross-examination. Do you know that a person can get aroused when they sleep, Dillon asked. It's possible, yes, Smith said. Smith said earlier in court that he was testing the waters when he touched the man's thigh, and when the student didn't resist, he performed a sexual act on him. The complainant was a student at Vermilion College, east of Edmonton, but was not in Smith's class at the time of the encounter. The student has testified that he awoke to find the instructor molesting him and froze in fear and shock. He denied suggestions that the encounter was consensual.
So the instructor was conducting a meat science test of his own?
Apparently. Or oral exam.
Yeah. And obviously it wasn't multiple choice.
Oh no, my. It was supposed to be extra credit.
Now this one here is...
This is the one I asked if this were qualified as a bestiality story or not.
No. But this is a heterosexual sex story, but it was so intriguing, I had to include it in here. Because this made enough news that I found it not only on the Daily Rotten, but on the Drudge Report.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hey.
Headline is, Sex with Teenage Son Gets Mom Prison.
Oh, my.
Oedipus, anybody?
Well,
it's a little more twisted than just...
Looking at her picture, I want to gouge my eyes out, too.
Oh, God.
This comes out of Michigan. A Waterford Township woman who used the internet to track down the 14-year-old son she gave up for adoption when he was 2 days old was sentenced Monday to 9 to 30 years in prison for having sex with the boy. Amy Louise Sword, 36, entered a guilty plea to one count.
Whoa. What was her name?
Sword.
All righty then.
Yeah. And S-words for 500.
entered a guilty plea to one count of first-degree criminal sexual conduct in exchange for the dismissal of the two other sex offenders that involved her son. Before sentencing in Oakland Circuit, Judge O'Brien, Sword, who has five other children, apologized for her actions. I want to apologize to the court, my children, and my sister. I am remorseful for everything I have occurred, and I don't understand it. Assistant Prosecutor Nikki Weissenberger said the boy was going through a tough emotional time in his life and wanted to meet his biological mother, and then Sword committed a, quote, selfish, cowardly, despicable act on her son, now 16. At a preliminary exam in January, the teenager testified that she contacted him in May 2008 while he was living with an adoptive family in Grand Rapids. Sex acts later occurred at a motel and also at the home of one of Sword's relatives in the Waterford Township.
Wait a minute now. He's now 16?
Yeah.
Yes.
And she did this in 2008 when he was 14?
Yeah. Yes. But she, you know, but you have to remember, he's only her son by biology. She gave him up for adoption.
Yeah.
So she didn't meet him until she found him on the internet, and then...
And then
she did the deed. She wanted to see what made him a sword.
Does that make her a sword swallower?
They don't go into details of what happened. Defense attorney Mitchell
Riptower
noted Sword entered a guilty plea to spare her son from having to testify at trial. The attorney said Sword used Facebook.
Facebook?
My.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. I'll explain that later, Jimmy.
As we were saying,
it was an open adoption in which she received updates every year.
The look even, on his face.
Even photos of her son, the attorney said outside the courtroom after sentencing. Suddenly, his birth date came around, and she didn't receive any information. With a relative's help, she made contact with him over the internet. Sword and her son communicated several times before agreeing to meet. Riptower asked O'Brien for leniency and Sword sentencing. It's not a matter of a pedophile or someone who will prey on children, the attorney said. She's very remorseful and is not trying to make excuses. Before sentencing Sword, O'Brien said a psychological evaluation he read found her to be controlling and manipulative, and had considered all factors, including protection of society. O'Brien also ordered Sword to have no contact with her son and to comply with all requirements of the state sexual offender registry.
Wow.
Oh, and the twisted part is this. The picture that this article has...
Yes.
They took it from her MySpace.
Oh.
For the record. Notice this, that he just said the twisted part of this story. And we hadn't gotten there yet.
Okay. No, the part is that, you know, she used Facebook to find her son, to fool around with him, and the only picture they could get on... DET News, DetroitNews.com, was a picture from her MySpace account.
Mm-hmm. Where
she should be punished just for wearing that hat.
Yes.
Oh my.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to even look in there at this. But just,
oh,
it's pretty frightening.
It's just.
Yeah. If it had a white band on it, it would look like the hat from Caddyshack.
Oh my. Did I mention oh my?
Oh my.
But I'm all right. Okay, we're coming up here towards the end of the show.
It's been a fun one, I think.
It's been real. It's been fun.
Says you.
It's time to die now.
It's time to go home and die now.
Once again, you'll be listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale.
I hear John in the house because I hear his accordion.
Yeah, he's playing.
Then after that comes the Red Eye Special and the rest of the blues programming here on KPFT. I'm trying to do two things at once. I can't do it.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, but
he's not used to it anymore.
I'm typing with two hands, and that's the part I'm not used to. You can get in contact with us. You can send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. Snail mail can be sent to After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Lovett, L-O-V-E-T-T, love, T-T.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
And we love hearing from you. We want to hear about upcoming events, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
Or anything you'd like to have us cover. Yeah, you can have access with us. You can also contact us
or uncover
via Facebook. We'll be back next week. I don't know who the hell we're going to have here.
Oh, just anybody.
We'll have fun doing it.
Yeah, it shows up. Yeah, if anyone wants to escape from where they're at and come on in, why not?
Yeah, come on in.
We've got connections. Someone will try and help you, Kat.
Yeah.
Actually, that took less time than I thought, so we still got to figure out a couple more minutes on this.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Well, we could give a couple of minutes to Zydeco.
Yeah, I guess we can. We're just going to wrap up a little bit on this. Once again, Zydeco Pasale coming up. Yeah, definitely, if you have any ideas for stories or news, definitely hit us up on that so we can. We're going to try. I may start putting some of the links up there that we use for people actually want to read the articles on Facebook, because I've been doing more of those.
I went in this past
week. Yeah, I saw you went and tagged a lot of the pride pictures.
I tagged the pride photos with everybody.
See, Chris is getting all into this Facebook stuff. Next thing you know, he'll have his own page.
Hell no. and I also went through and started sorting some of the friends into categories.
Oh, there you go.
On that.
I'm afraid to ask.
The closest I've come to it is I just started a Facebook page for the Big Men's Club.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
So, and it's like, I put on the little thing at the top there. I said, you know, don't ask me to pluck your strawberries. Go talk to Farmer Ron. We have one of the guys in our group that's addicted to Farmville. On that stuff.
Oh, I get you.
He goes into work and starts going working on his farm.
Oh, good Lord.
I don't even mess with that stuff while I'm at work.
Crazy.
Don't have enough time.
So, you've been listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Here's your PSAs, and then Zydeco Pasale.
KPFT Houston would like to remind you that listener candidate opportunities are still open for the KPFT Local Station Board. The candidates in this election are members just like you who would like to help keep the Pacifica Radio Network alive by making important decisions with respect to ensuring local community needs are being prioritized. Candidate deadline has been extended to July 19th. Candidate packets are available at PacificaElections2010.org or by visiting the KPFT offices at 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas 77006. If you need petition signatures, consider attending KPFT meetings and events before the deadline. You can find a listing of these events and meetings by visiting kpft.org. Pacifica's principles inspire us to strive for diversity, and we encourage members of our diverse community to consider being a part of this board. This is KPFT Houston.
This is Mumia Abu-Jamal with a special message for you, Pacifica listeners. This is not a plea for money, although it'll be great for you to drop some, but a call for you to lend something far more precious. You. Why not run as a candidate for your local Pacifica station board? Nominating packages are available at PacificaElections2010.org. Why not be a part of the solution?
You can run as a candidate for KPFT's local station board until Monday, July 19th. Contact local election supervisor Kathy Kidd by calling 281-668-8854 or email les_kpft@pacifica.org.
Why not be a part of the solution?
All right, the time is now 4 o'clock, and you're tuned in to KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM and 89.5 FM in Galveston, and at kpft.org on the World Wide Web. And this is the Zydeco Pasale Show. We're going to do something a little different.